Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kids.
Hey.
Evan Herbeck on the radio. Coming to you from week number two from the studios of WKGC-FM high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
That's it.
Yeah. And we should introduce the assembled multitude.
Yes.
Putting this broadcast together. First of all, we'll start with our crew back in Chicago. And our producer, Julian. Hey, Julian.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. You sound like Boo Boo Bear. Or you're Yogi.
Oh, hi, Steve. Hi, Jenny.
And then the keeper of the big plug, that would be your Bob Fukuda.
Grandpa Bob.
Are we all supposed to sound like Yogi Bear?
Wait, I
you're
want
sounding
the plug.
A little Yore-like now.
Yeah.
We're going to have quite a cast of characters. Grandpa Bob is now the grandpa of a baby that has a tooth.
Two teeth. At 6 months, two teeth.
Yeah. Slow down, kid.
And over in the newsroom, we haven't worked with him. We were
200
trying to think,
years.
When was the last time we worked with Steve Ruxton?
Last year, I think.
Really?
See, I thought it was
not too long after
year.
You started the show. Came back.
Wow. Okay. I said to Steve, it's been 2 decades since we worked with Steve Ruxton.
Not quite, but
well,
hey.
I have memories of the show over, you know, the Tower, the Tribune Tower.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trading stories of sliders.
White Castle.
I'm filling in for Ron Brown, of course, who's probably not doing too well right now. Do you know why?
Yes.
What a You know, I'm a White Sox fan, but when I heard the score, I thought it was a White Sox score. What the heck happened to the cut? Was 17-0?
So I read that, and I double-checked it because I couldn't quite believe it, and it is true. And I thought, is that some kind of record? So I jumped on our favorite little tech gizmo, the internet, and found out it's close, but not quite. The shutout record in Major League Baseball and also the record for the Cubs got to go back to 1975 at Wrigley Field on September 16th. The Pirates blanked the Cubs 22-0. So it was close, but not quite.
Wow. But I did check with Ron Brown, who is our Saturday night newsman. He is in Boston.
Yeah.
He'll be going to the game tomorrow night.
Oh,
so
he was
wasn't
not
there.
So okay. You can't blame it on Ron tonight.
No, I texted him. I said, do you need to talk? Are you okay?
Like, you need a shoulder to cry on.
Do we need to get you off a ledge?
Well, because I hope they do better to tomorrow.
Isn't he trying to go to all these different baseball fields? I think that's his goal in life. It's on his bucket list. And so Fenway, he's very excited about seeing the Cubs. He's such a big Cubs fan. So they got to do better tomorrow.
I hope so.
And Fenway is, along with Wrigley Field, one of the last of the really old school baseballs.
It is the oldest stadium in the major leagues.
It is.
I think you're right.
It's older than Wrigley Field.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. A little later tonight, Sylvia Snowden will be replacing Steve, who's replacing Ron. You need a scorecard.
No, actually, never mind. You're confusing me. Because Gabe is going to be replacing Ron tomorrow.
Right. So Gabe is replacing Ron.
So Steve is tonight replacing Ron, who's replacing Gabe.
But then Sylvia will be replacing
multiple chairs.
And after Steve leaves.
Stop now.
Okay. Sylvia's here.
5 hours of this. 5 hours of this.
Then we segue to our Florida crew.
Yes.
Who is at the ready. And at the ready always implies that there is more urgency than just ready. Mm. You're at
the ready.
The ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we start with Caleb Jordan.
Hey, Caleb.
Howdy.
At the end of the table there, and kind of, you know, keeping us on the straight and narrow, because I see him. I don't see you. Like, at the WGN studios, I'm looking at Steve. This way I can ignore Steve, and I just look at Caleb. And Steve says, I was trying to, I got it. Okay, I'm looking at Caleb.
And, of course, this is the only time Johnny ever ignores me.
Five out of this, eh?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Stay there, Caleb. Don't move.
Then the keeper of the big plug in Florida would be Tom Hoots, who basically plugged all this stuff together.
Yes, and trying today to make sure that we have everything actually plugged in and not running on battery.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a great improvement.
Yeah. But you have to admit, last week the timing was perfect. Just get there for the 9:30 newscast, and all of a sudden...
That's exactly what happened.
Actually, you'd do a good impression of the last dying gasp of a Comrex. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
I feel like I'm at Disney. I've got Yogi and Boo Boo and now Donald. And to my right, it is Miss Becca.
Hi.
I was waiting for you to work up a voice, but no.
I know, I don't have an impression. Sorry.
You don't have a Disney voice?
No.
Okay.
Work on that. There's big money in that.
I'll try next week or something else.
But we are actually in a very comfortable studio
here.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful studio.
It's nice to be able to just, you know, sit here and realize that we are in Panama City, Florida. By the way, I did post some pictures on a trip from Panama City Beach to Panama. Wow. It'll be a long night.
Long 5 hours.
Yes.
Yep, yep. And Becca, can we share with the class that this week you kind of finished up some stuff?
I mean, it's more of next week, technically. Yeah.
Like I said, next week you're finishing up some stuff?
Right, yeah. So, I'm graduating with my bachelor's in digital media and stuff.
Digital media?
Yeah, digital media, multimedia technologies is the official name for it.
Uh-huh.
Just radio, TV, broadcasting stuff.
Yeah, sadly, radio kind of takes a back seat. I graduated from Columbia College. We used to have a radio department. They don't even have that, I am told, which is really sad.
Didn't they just close the radio department, I want to say, like last year? They shut it down?
It saddens me. It really does.
Well, and back in the Stone Age, when I got into radio, and actually when Johnny got into radio, you had to... get your Federal Communications Commission license.
Yeah, Tom's shaking his head, yes. It was so cool to be able to put your license on the bulletin board with the big guys, because they were all first class, and we were third class license, but still it was very cool.
So when you got yours, Tom, it was a first class or what?
Well, I remember signing my name with a quill pen.
And then picking up the tin can so that you could communicate, right?
You worked at the same radio station.
Yes. Yeah.
The one with the tin cans and a string.
Caleb, now, you have your master's degree in...
strategic communication.
Strategic?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Define... what is strategic about strategic as opposed to all the other communications?
Thinking about what you say before you say it.
Whoa.
That's it. Right. So advertising.
That'll never float.
See, that would never get you a job in radio these days.
Nobody ever does that.
Fly by the seat of your pants.
That's why I'm in academia.
I see. Okay. Strategic communications.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's your master's.
Yeah. So it focuses on marketing, public relations, and advertising. Journalism, stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. Wow. Julian, he's the youngest one on our team, right?
I think so.
Yes. Your degree is in photography? Is that right?
No, my degree would be the same as Becca's, actually.
Oh, Yay. Okay. Cool. Photography is just your love, aside from your skills at radio, right?
Yeah, it was something I picked up along the way, and that became my full-time thing when COVID happened.
Ah, okay. Well, now that we know everybody and why you're here and why I feel so old all of a sudden, we're going to take a quick break. We have a big show coming up tonight. Got a lot of people to talk to.
In fact, real quick, before we take the break, let me mention that coming up a little later, we're going to talk with a guy that we wanted to get on the air for a long time, Marshall Chess. He is the son of Chess Records co-founder Leonard Chess. Chess Records, where All the stuff from Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, the too many people to name, so I won't. A legendary Chicago recording company. He has a new album called New Moves that he's going to be telling us about. And later tonight, by popular request,
we will talk cicadas.
After we talked about the cicada invasion, the great cicada invasion of 2024, and after we talked about the sex lives of cicadas.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Cover your ears, Becca. we're going to be talking with Mark Hurley. He's an environmental educator with the Lake County Forest Preserve District. And then later tonight, Patrick Crispin is going to be joining us. We're going to talk computers, a ton of computer stuff to talk about tonight.
And we'll have a segment on cicada fashion tonight. Because believe it or not, there's a lot of cicada fashion out there, which is a little scary.
And we'll also tell you about some of the things that are going on in this neck of the woods.
Yeah.
The Seabreeze Jazz Fest is going on, and we'll tell you about the kickoff jam and the prices for the kickoff jam. So a lot coming up. Stay with us on WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. What you're listening to is Kool and the Gang as they were performing this week at the Seabreeze Jazz Fest in Panama City Beach, Florida. The Seabreeze Jazz Fest is one of the largest, if not the largest, jazz fest in the country. And the location is 1 mile from our little house.
You didn't need to go. You could just hear it from the porch.
That's right.
Well, exactly. We could either pay the exorbitant prices to go or sit on our porch and hear the concert, which we choose to do.
We live about a half mile from Wrigley Field, so we hear Lady Gaga, Billy Joel, etc.
Yeah. Well, we did not record that, but we can. We knew, in fact, when Kool and the Gang were on stage. And some of the other people that are going to be performing there tonight, we drove through the traffic to get to the studio this evening. This evening at the Jazz Fest, Kenny G is performing. I think people kind of sort of know that guy. Peter White, Boney James, Brian Culbertson. I mean, they get some really, really big names. And it goes on all day long and then into, I think it was about 11:30 last night when the music stopped. And it starts right at noon. Today, boom, at noon, I heard the first note. It's just like clockwork.
Yeah.
So I think this is like the 25th of the Seabreeze Jazz Fest.
I think it is. I'm going to take a second and I'm going to put a link to the Seabreeze Jazz Fest on our Facebook page. And you can see it's a huge, beautiful park. And I forget what capacity is for that.
I don't know. But they sold out real quick. I know that. And they do every year. And coming up, now that's this weekend. There are just a few things going on around here. Next weekend, we have Thunder Beach, when about 75,000 motorcyclists will roll into town.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You putting any up?
You know what? It's interesting, Steve. It's a lot like the sound of cicadas. It's like white noise when you're sitting on the front porch.
A little
porch.
More oily.
Yeah, because it's just this low rumble that goes on. And then on Sunday at about 10 in the morning when they leave town, all of a sudden you realize, whoa, I've been listening to that for 4 days.
Wow.
And you get used to it. So that's next weekend. But we also have an air show at the same time.
Phew.
Caleb, you're shaking your head, yes, because this, I guess, has not been around for a couple of years because COVID, it was canceled. And
yeah, with Hurricane Michael doing a lot of damage to the Tyndall Air Force Base and then COVID, it's really nice to see them bring back an air show to our area.
And to get the big guns in, no pun intended, they had to do it next weekend, which happened to be the same weekend of Thunder Beach.
Yeah.
So I hope you don't plan on sleeping that weekend.
Or driving.
No, not that either.
We might be doing the show from home next weekend. But that show ends like at 4 or 5 in the evening. So, but people are already talking about, well, where do we park? How do we get around the motorcycles? Motorcyclists are going to have the best bet because they can just pull off the side of the road and watch the air show. Then we have Iron Man coming up. We had a mailer in our mailbox. Yeah. The Iron Man Triathlon will be happening.
The mailer was giving us information on what was going to happen with the traffic patterns and how various streets were going to be impacted.
Which is brilliant, you know, to send something out like that out. In previous years, during the triathlon, because our house is a street that a lot of people will use as a shortcut to get around the blockage for the triathlon, so I had garage sales because I would have people driving by that had never come down our street before. That was the most successful garage sale I've ever had.
Yeah, that was a fun year.
Yeah, because people would stop and I'd say, here, have a cold drink, stay a while. And next thing you know, they're buying stuff. And so I got rid of a whole bunch of stuff that time.
I just put the Seabreeze Jazz Festival link up. You can't see the picture, but click on the link and you will see a picture of the park. And again, this is roughly,
not even a whole mile.
Not even a mile.
Yeah,
from our house, and the schedule, they had Candy Dulfer, and in fact, she was doing a cruise. Then Kool and the Gang, Jonathan Butler, Kenny G, Boney James, Sister Sledge is going to be there. Mm-hmm. So just to
I know I'm thinking Sister Sledge, We Are Family Jazz.
Yeah,
but.
But jazz fests have kind of morphed into some pop music by people who have some jazz
I think
roots.
The requirement is you have to have a horn in your band.
Yeah.
Right?
Close enough for jazz, right?
Oh, yes. As the saying goes, close enough for jazz. And coming up, Memorial Day, we won't be here, but there's a big country concert with Morgan Wallen and Jelly Roll. And then they announced the concert that's coming up Labor Day weekend.
And we're going to talk about that a little later.
Yes, yes.
But
that's a big deal.
We'll take a break on WGN.
Headed to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning. Girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the morning.
Pete King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Garth Brooks. And we were talking about some of the things that are going on down here in Panama City Beach, Florida. Just about a mile from our little house, and there is something, it's just been announced, it's going on August 30th through September 1st, the first kickoff jam.
First kickoff jam, and boy, if you're going to do it right. The names that will be involved in this concert are Friday Night, little group called Alabama, been around for a while, right? I'm just blown away by this lineup because I want to be on the front porch to hear this music.
Yeah.
So you got Alabama on a Friday night, and they're going to be joined by Randy Travis, a very special appearance by Randy Travis, Jamie Johnson, and Pam Tillis. That's on Friday night. Then on Saturday night, I think she's going to go places. Carrie Underwood.
Yep.
Yeah, she's going to be doing Saturday night as the headliner. And some of the other performers are Lauren Elena, also doing really well, Restless Road, Carter Faith, Kaylee Green, and Need to Breathe, a band I'm not familiar with. That's Saturday night. Then on Sunday, it will be Garth Brooks with additional performers, another little band called the Oak Ridge Boys.
And Randy Houser.
And Rhett Akins and Mackenzie Carpenter and Allie Colleen. So this is a really, really big deal. It's Labor Day weekend, right?
Tickets. Now, one of the reasons we mention this is because we have talked before about ticket prices and how they've been going through the roof. And I think we may have mentioned last week that if you wanted to take seven of your close personal friends, it would cost you $25,000.
But you would have parking, you would have hors d'oeuvres, heavy hors d'oeuvres, not even light hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, yeah,
they're specifying there will be heavy hors d'oeuvres.
But the thing that got our attention
even more than
yes,
$25,000 for you and for a party of eight.
No, if you want to just stand around with no hors d'oeuvres and no parking or anything like that, you can get a 3-day pass for, I think it's $299, as in $299. Up
but
to
if you
eight,
actually want to be able to sit down
yeah.
and get some shade.
So the 3-day passes are $299 to $1,399. And then there are various passes that will include your $125 parking so that you don't have to pay out of pocket for that. Maybe we should rent out our driveway.
We should.
Now.
There you go.
Ching, ching.
Yeah.
Wait.
So the cheap seats are $300.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And you could go up to $25,000. So today I saw something that I have never, ever seen in my life. In all the years I've seen advertisement for concerts, I have never seen, and I will have to post this so you guys will know that I'm telling the truth, tickets on sale. They went on sale this past Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Ticket packages and financing is available.
Financing is available. What's wrong with that picture? And I love what you came up with.
Forgive me, but you might be a redneck if you have to finance your tickets to the concert. Ah. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime show.
Yeah.
So, you know, if money's tight, so you pay it off over a year or two or three.
And we're not talking about this just to promote the concert. It just happens that we're down here.
Yes.
We saw this, and honestly, we can't believe it.
Never, ever, ever saw that. And maybe we don't get around enough. If somebody can give me an example of another time when they've seen tickets for a concert for sale where you could get financing, I'd love to know about it because that's the first.
And the last time we saw Garth Brooks, I remember clearly,
yes,
we paid $17 to see Garth Brooks.
And he was still a big name because he played the Rosemont Horizon, a sold-out show. We saw him a couple of nights.
Yes. And it's the only performer I've ever seen take a 17,000-seat arena and make it feel intimate.
Right.
I mean, Garth Brooks is wonderful. But $25,000?
But heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Okay.
I want to know what a heavy hors d'oeuvre is, right?
Like, not shaved meat, but like a chicken wing.
Yes, that's right. But as I said, for that kind of money, Garth better come to the house and make those heavy hors d'oeuvres, and then we'll ride together to the show.
Or was that a heavy metal group?
The heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Yes. But no one would know how to spell it, so that would be awful. You're trying to Google the band, you're like, I don't know how to spell heavy hors d'oeuvres.
Becca, what's the most you've ever paid for a concert ticket?
Oh,
the first thing that comes to mind
for
me.
That's a great question. I would think, like, probably like 200, 300,
really?
Maybe, like one time.
And who is that? Who'd you go see?
Noah Kahan, and that was within the past year or so. I recently went to a concert for $30 up in Birmingham called Sammy Ray and the Friends. That was a fun time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You got your $30 worth, right?
Yes.
You used more gas to get there.
Julian, what's the most you ever paid to go to a concert?
$100.
$100? Who'd you see? Or is that your limit?
I can see that it was a really impressive performance.
This was years ago, but I remember it being the most that I paid. I want to say it was a band called Tool.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Good group.
All right, Caleb,
what about you?
The tickets weren't the expensive part. It was getting to the show that was.
Yeah.
I took my girl up to Chicago.
To Chicago.
Remember
last
this?
Year.
Yep.
Yes. The tickets were about like $36, but
right.
That was on like the pre-sale email list.
At the Aragon.
Nice. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you went to see?
Melanie Martinez.
Yes.
Oh.
But the airfare there and back,
right,
and hotels,
right,
and all that. You know.
And the ride from the airport, because we were trying to work out a way that kind of cut the cost, because when I saw the prices, I'm like, that's a steal.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the Aragon?
I did, yeah.
It's like nothing you've ever experienced at the venue.
No. And it definitely, you know, at my age, mm-hmm, I want to spend a little bit of extra,
mm-hmm,
to enjoy the experience.
Yeah.
Right.
So The Aragon had...
And the odor of the Aragon, did it help you to enjoy the experience?
Really enjoyed the fact that there was balcony seating and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Most I ever spent was, actually, I didn't spend it, but I was invited to attend a Paul McCartney concert.
Yeah.
In 1976, and I about died when I found out the guy had paid $125 a ticket. 1976 money, that's a lot.
Now, we went to see McCartney, and I'm trying to think.
It was about 100.
Yeah. We saw. In fact, was that the same year that we saw Clapton? We saw Clapton twice. Once was at Poplar Creek, and another time was at the then Rosemont Horizon, right?
But I think historically, $100 has been our limit.
Yeah.
But now that's like, you can stand in the parking lot, you know, for $100.
Keeper of the big plug, Bob, what's the most you ever spent for a concert?
I've been in radio over 35 years. I don't spend money on concerts.
Because you're working the concerts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, either I'm working or they're giving me tickets that the station had. So I don't worry about that.
That's right.
But just for your edification, the four-day platinum pass to Lala is $4,500 with layaway starting at $250.
All right, Chicago.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
And that's for one person.
Layaway plan.
Per person.
Per person.
I love the fact that it's layaway and not financing.
They didn't want to call it financing. No. It's layaway.
Let's go to Kmart and lay away the Christmas presents.
I don't have to pay interest on it. I love it.
That's kind of innovative. So do they tell you what the most expensive tickets are if you want to stand around and eat a heavy hors d'oeuvre at Lala?
Well, that does give you access to several things, but let's see. Exclusive front of stage viewing at six stages with complimentary beer, seltzer, and water. Unlimited access to two platinum lounges, north and south main stages.
Platinum lounge.
With relaxed seating and air-conditioned restrooms.
Now, this sounds better all the time.
Complimentary full-service bar in both Platinum Lounges. Complimentary all-day dining in the Platinum Lounge South featuring Avec, Big Star, Dove's Luncheonette, and The Publican.
You know, this is actually sounding like not a horrible price for everything you're getting. Yeah.
Complimentary all-day snacks. Golf cart shuttle transportation between the festival entrance lounges and stages. It keeps getting better. Complimentary lockers with mobile charging units.
Have you stated the price already? Did I miss that?
This is $4,500.
$4,500?
Yeah.
Just laid away.
For four days. All 4 days.
Everything you get, that's not bad.
This is my favorite. Complimentary festival hair and glitter services and chair massages.
Yes!
But does it cover parking?
No, but it does have a dedicated platinum concierge to assist you with your festival needs. And you get exclusive festival gifts and pre-sale access to the official Lala after shows.
Well, all I care about is the glitter and the hair.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay, Chicago wins, hands down.
Oh,
we're going to get a hold of this love lady guy that's doing this concert down here.
Yeah, Randy Love Lady, he's the guy who's...
Let's get with the program. We need hair, glitter, some cowboy boots or something.
Well, now you're going to get up to
$35,000. Oh, no.
But at least... Heavy hors d'oeuvres. That's all I can think about.
There are no prices for the cabanas yet. You have to email them.
Wow. But you can do a layaway plan. God bless them. That is so cool.
And a cabana holds 30.
30?
Yes.
Not you and seven of your close friends for $25,000.
No, but the cabana comes with complimentary grab-and-go all-day snacks and a dinner buffet.
This is actually sounding not horrible.
I was like, I want to do this now.
It's grab and go, so it's not heavy enough for a heavy order.
There you go.
But children under 8 are free with a ticketed adult.
Oh.
So, there you go.
We can dress you. Walk small.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive. Thank you for looking that up because I had missed that. And I'm proud of Chicago. I've never wanted to go to Lala, and now I
do. But now,
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to have our shout out, so stay with us right here on WGN.
Oh, you make me want to shout. Keep my hands up and shout. Keep my hands up and shout.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And yes, that means we're about to do some shout-outs.
And real quick, Becca, you did a little research for me. The ticket that I bought for the, or that my date bought, for the Paul McCartney show.
Yes.
In 75 would cost how much today?
$725.68.
Oh, God bless him. He's a grandpa now, so he's happy. I'm sure. All right, shout out. We got a whole bunch of people that have tuned in, and they let us know that they've tuned in and where they're listening because they go to our Facebook page.
And we also ask them, since we were talking last week about songs that you never get tired of, we asked, what song have you never gotten tired of? So we may have a few of those, too.
Yes. Oh, we had some interesting. The one that surprised me was Hurricane Smith came up like four or five times.
Oh, babe, what did you say?
A couple people chose that song. I said, wow, okay. Anyway, a shout out because we have 14 states that are tuned in tonight, and we do appreciate that. Margo Moore is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Fred Hussar is in Lyons, and Judy Smiley is in the Quad Cities, and Susie Schimmel's in Glen Ellen, and Wendy Koziel in Bartlett. And Randall Trisiak, forgive me, Randall, he's in Round Lake Beach, and Celine Ellers is in Chicago. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Helen Bodvin is in K-Town, Kenosha. Dean's in Indy. Bonnie's in Butternut, Wisconsin. And we know now butternut's not for the bread. Mm-hmm. It's for the tree. Robin is in Dyer, Indiana. Laura and her dog Cotton are tuned in Willowbrook. Stacy's in Algonquin, Davison High School, Class 64, Mount Prospect. George and Bonnie are in Elgin. Bob and Sherry are in Arlington Heights. Also, Leona Young tuned in tonight. Kevin Roush is in. He says, great show and enjoy your working vacation in Florida. Thank you, Kevin. Jim Smith is tuned in. Lloyd Moncrief is in Ottawa. I got you, babe. Sonny and Cher is Lloyd's favorite. Never gets tired of it. Marie Kennedy. She chose Hurricane Smith. Oh, babe, what would you say? And she's listening to us in Munster. Also listening tonight, our buddy Patrice Tintari, who's a great, great fan of this show and this station. And Diane Vasquez, another great listener and fan. Brian Lefevre is in Bridgeport. Bobby Danos, our buddy in Sandwich. He chose his favorite song. It's the Steve and Johnny theme song. Thank you, Bobby. I do appreciate that. Chuck Snitchler is listening in Hobart, Indiana. Great friend of our show and the station. Rita Ragey is in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. Cryptosis is tuned in, listening on the internet. Norb Rosansky is in Aurora. My Way, Frank Sinatra is his tune.
Okay.
Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida, transplanted from Wisconsin. And the song she never gets tired of is Trying to Reason with Hurricane Season, Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah,
Florida girl now, right? Priscilla is in Joliet. Janet Appenzeller is tuned in. Thank you, Janet. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory. She works every Saturday night with us. Helen Thomas in K-Town chooses the Beach Boys, Don't Worry Baby.
Great song.
Christine Failing is in Plainfield, and hers is Vehicle by the Ides of March. I have to agree. I never get tired of hearing Vehicle by the Ides of March.
And that horn riff.
Yes. And that was followed by Catherine Lissick, who said, Eye of the Tiger. Jim Peterick's version, Eye of the Tiger. Susie Schimmel is listening in Glen Ellen, and here's that rainy day. Frank Sinatra is her choice.
Good song.
Yeah.
Nice moody song.
Sandy McComas in Michigan City. Maggie by Rod Stewart, another favorite of mine. Ellen Maria, McHenry County. Peter Jukabowicz is in Citrus County, Florida. Judy B. is tuned in. Can't wait for Cicada Geddon. Yeah. Judy, we got it
coming up later.
Coming up in the 11 o'clock
hour. And we have a bunch of cicada songs.
Yes, we do. John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Bonnie Pearson is tuned in Grays Lake. Becky is listening in Northbrook, Donna Youngheim in Oaklawn, and I think I just made it to the end. Robin Aiken, she chose the Oak Ridge Boys in Elvira.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, I just mentioned that they're going to be at the big concert Labor Day weekend. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine. He sends us a picture of his beach every week. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Robin Aiken, Linda Moeller is in the panhandle of Oklahoma, and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is her tune.
Okay.
That's different. I love it. Janet Gellert is in Gainesville, and her favorite is Just You and Me by Chicago. Got a lot of memories tied up with that one. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Jeffrey Welshunt's in Elkins, West Virginia. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Tuned in. Thank you.
Memphis.
Boy, she's got a lot of songs to choose from down in Memphis. And finally, Mary Gold says, Time in the Bottle. Jim Croce is one of her favorites. And Miami, Florida's tuned in, and that's Larry Mann. And if I missed you, I'm sorry. We'll get you next week.
Some interesting songs.
Yeah.
My mind went to a strange place. Maybe later tonight, we may have to see if we can find Elvira by Dallas Frazier, who I believe is the one who wrote it. He had the first version, and then it became a huge hit for the Oak Ridge Boys.
A couple of other songs that I jotted down here on my little notepad. Wildflowers by Tom Petty, and Judy chose that one. My Life, The Beatles, that's a good one. Diane chose that one. I Got You, Babe came up a couple times, but as I said, Hurricane Smith, that was kind of an interesting choice.
Yeah, we may have to play some Hurricane Smith a little later.
And Daryl Hall, Hall & Oates came up a couple of times.
Yeah, somebody mentioned Hall & Oates, but they didn't say any specific Hall & Oates song. And I guess we're never going to see a Hall & Oates concert again, because they're going through all kinds of legal things.
It's kind of got ugly.
I've always been a huge Hall & Oates fan, but one of the most disappointing concerts we ever saw. We took my brother, it was for a birthday present, took my brother Lee to see Hall & Oates at what was then the Star Plaza Theater in Merrillville. And I guess it was one of the last concerts on their tour, and they were
they retired.
They were so obviously bored, Steve. I mean, they were going through the motions.
Kiss on my list for the 200th time.
Yeah, right.
And I don't get that, because
I think they
if
were
you're
fighting.
That bored with it, then don't do the
get
concerts.
Off the road.
But if you're going to do the concerts, give your audience what they paid big money for.
Yeah, yeah. And don't you remember, too, that we got on the elevator with, it was with Oates.
You're right.
Yeah, and he was grumpy.
He was
looking
very
at his feet.
Grumpy.
He was like, don't look at me.
He didn't
want
to talk to anybody.
This was before or after?
After.
Wow.
And this may have been, how many years ago was this? This was
15 years ago.
At least 15 years ago. So my sense of it is that they've had some problems boiling for a long
time.
And they were still touring because it was bringing them big bucks.
But I do love the show that Daryl Hall does.
Yeah.
Daryl's Place. Is that what it?
Yeah, it's Daryl's Place. Live from Daryl's Place.
That's a great show.
And it is.
One of my favorites.
He brings in some great musicians. And one of my favorite shows was when he got Smokey Robinson. And it was interesting because Smokey obviously didn't really want to sing. And he kind of conned Smokey into singing some of his songs.
And then he got into it.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of songs, we are going to talk with Marshall Chess, the son of Chess Records co-founder Leonard Chess. There's a terrific new album out called New Moves. We're going to talk about that and some of the history of Chess Records and some of the things that Marshall is into now. So that's all coming up. Stay with us at WGN. King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Boom, boom, out go the lights. When we were first listening to that, the first thing I thought is, you know, this feels to me, it gives me that same funky blue light down in the basement up on the orange crate feeling that I got from some of the early Chess records. And there's a reason for that, because this is from an extraordinary album called The Chess Project.
It is New Moves. And with us right now is Music Royalty. The man has a name that everyone in Chicago should know. Marshall Chess is our guest, and he's really behind this whole new concept of New Moves. Marshall, thank you for joining us on WGN Radio.
Great to be with you, my old hometown. Nowhere better I'd rather be.
Well, that's why I said everyone in Chicago should know the name Chess. Because, of course, he's son of Leonard Chess, the co-founder of Chicago's Chess Records. And
you did that little thing when you were the president of Rolling Stones Records. So you've kind of...
Know your way around.
Know your way around.
Yeah.
I've been around. I'm 82 now, man. I've been around.
Oh, God bless you. Well, again, we want to talk about you, but we also want to talk about New Moves. Love that first cut that we played from the album. Now, this actually was an idea that you had long before COVID hit. Is that right, Marshall?
Oh, God. Well, you know, one of my first jobs, it wasn't a job. I got hired at Chess Records. I was born into it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Born in the circus. That's what I always used to say. So I began working, you know, very young at 13. I always around. Loved my dad was a workaholic. Loved being there. In 1967, when albums were first hitting the market, we had put out a live Muddy Waters album called Muddy Waters at Newport Jazz Festival, and we started seeing sales from Boston. I remember my uncle said, "What's going on? There's not that many people in Boston. We shouldn't be selling." And we traced it down to white college kids who'd gone to the Newport Jazz Festival. And we saw, wow, there's a whole new audience. So one of my first jobs at Chess Records was to expand the blues, which was primarily for black people at that time, to this new white audience. So I began making, you know, classic compilations, the real folk blues, more real folk blues, super blues. And it evolved in 1969, the last year I was at Chess, before it was sold to my most famous album that I made, Electric Mud, with Muddy Waters, which was a psychedelic take on the blues to bring in this new audience. So, you know, I've always had this idea of wanting to bring new people to the magic of the blues. It's such a special art form, you know, and I just thought that was always my job, and I never stopped, and I hope this one brings in some new people. You know?
Yeah.
I want to make an odd comparison, but as I was listening to this album, New Moves, it struck me as having elements of some of the best of Chess blues, but also some of the best of an album that you were involved with that is one of my all-time favorites, The Rotary Connection. There are blues roots, but there's some wonderful psychedelia Rotary Connection stuff.
Yeah.
I love what you did with this.
It's me, you know. I mean, it's my... I think I've produced over 31 albums. I figured it out. And, you know, I'm really like, you know, an artist friend of mine said, you're really like an artist more than a musician. You come up with ideas and you make them out. And I use music as my form because that was my life at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Rotary was my first real experimental move. I was part of that psychedelic whole generation. It affected me greatly. And I decided that was the era when people were having bad trips. Jumping off the roofs, taking LSD. And I said, you know, there's a market for a soft psychedelic album to help people out. Put some headphones on them, bring them out of a bad trip. That's how that idea generated, you know, and I went ahead and made it. I'm glad you liked it. That was my first real experimental record.
How does it feel to you to know that something that you did, and I'm going to stay with Rotary Connection for a second, something that you did all those years ago still sounds that good today. You can still put on your headphones, get into it, and it's a wonderful album experience.
You know, it makes you feel great. I mean, you know, especially when people be like you saying you loved it. Come on. Every time someone tells me they got off or loved some piece of music that had something to do with, you know, you love it, of course. That's what you want more than anything. Your ego loves it. You love it. But more than anything, I love spreading the roots of my father and uncle. Because, well, you know, what they did in Chicago, man, nothing other than maybe Carl Sandburg was as creative. And at South Michigan Avenue, all the great music, not just blues and Rotary Connection, but jazz, the first black comedy, the first black spiritual religious stuff. Amazing creative stuff out of Chicago from that little building on Michigan Avenue.
I'll never forget, back in the day before I got into radio in the 60s, I was involved with a lot of bands, and there was one day that I actually got to go and record at 2120 South Michigan, and I was just walking into that building. There really was a special vibe about that building, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a magic place, man. It was music, you know, I can remember it. I loved going there. I started going there very young because it was, like I said, it was like going to the circus. The characters, there was always music. We recorded all day long, every day. Chess made so many records that were never released, looking for ones that sounded the best. It was really a creative factory. That's what was so fascinating about it. Yeah, it was an amazing place. You know, all the great, that's how I met the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. In 1964, they contacted me. That was, they got their name from Muddy Waters' record, a record called Rolling Stone.
Yep.
And they were in awe. They thought if they recorded at the Chess Studios, it would sound like a Chess record. And, of course, they learned that it had nothing to do with it. It did have something to do with it. But it was the brilliance of the artist. And actually, at Chess, I remember very clearly, that's where they sketched out Satisfaction. That's one of their most famous records.
Really?
And I went on to finish it in L.A. on that same tour, yeah. Yeah, I can remember. They were the first guys I ever saw with long hair. And I was Brian Jones, one of the original Rolling Stones. I was driving them back in 1964. I had a 64 Porsche. I had made money. My first albums were selling. I bought this. I had my first car, $180 a month. And I got to a corner. Brian Jones, remember, he had that shoulder-length hair?
Yeah.
We got to a red light, and we got to a red light, and a bunch of guys at the corner started screaming, homo, homo, homo,
oh.
And pointing at him. Remember, that's what they call gay
people.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
homos. And I'll never forget that, man. He said, what's that about, man?
Oh.
And, you know, yeah, that was his experience of gay rights in Chicago.
In the 70s, when you were with Rolling Stone Records as the president, you actually you worked with the Stones then. Didn't you do Sticky Fingers with them?
Yeah, that was my first record I did with them, yeah.
Yeah.
I did Sticky Fingers all the way, Exile on Main Street, Black and Blue. Yeah.
Wow.
I spent 7 years with them. It was a great experience. They were like a Chess band. First thing I noticed when I started making during the Sticky Fingers recording was they had that same magic of becoming as one. You see, these Chess blues bands, at least the main band we used on so many of the hits, that was before multi-track recording where you could connect anything. And the band, they had to lock together. The magic came was what, 5 or 7 guys became one. And then that's when magic comes in music. Live music is fabulous. That's why people love it so much. And when that happens, it's an amazing thing. It happened a lot at Chess, and it definitely happened with the Rolling Stones. I noticed it. Sometimes they'd play 3 or 4 days in a row, and then one night the magic would happen, and they would do 5 cuts, you know, instrumentally. It would just lock together. So, yeah, they had that same ability, that magic.
See, you're singing my song because I love the days, and I'm all for modern technology. I get it. I understand it. But I love the days when a recording was just that. You put a group of people in the studio, they played a song, and you recorded that performance, and that was what was released. And there was just a different feel about that kind of recording session.
Well, it could be dirty then. And sometimes,
you couldn't correct the mistake. I'll tell you, my first time, my dad was recording a blues session, and he said, go up to the studio. I have to go to the bank. I said, go up to the studio. What am I supposed to do? He said, just tell him to take another one. I said, what? He said, tell him to take another one, even if it's 14 times till I get back. If you don't tell him to take another one, they're just going to sit around gossiping. And one of those 14, and I'd be locked together and be great. And that was my first lesson, do it again. Take one, take two, take four, do it again.
Keep doing it. I love that story. We're talking with Marshall Chess. Marshall, sit tight. We'll come back with you. Marshall is music royalty, honestly. He's got a new album. We're going to tell you all about New Moves and how it came about right here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. Somebody knocking on my door. You're listening to one of the tracks from New Moves, the Chess Project, a wonderful album produced by record royalty Marshall Chess, son of the legendary Chess Records co-founder Leonard Chess, and we're lucky enough to have Marshall on the phone with us. Marshall, can you tell us a little bit about how you were able to get the concept you had in your mind onto the record?
That's an easy one. In 1983, after I finished with the Rolling Stones after 7 years, I got married. I moved up to the Catskill Mountains, where I live now. My wife got pregnant, and I was thinking, what am I going to do now? I'm going to have to be to work. I want to become a role model for my kid. I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl, but I got to do something to make some money. And I was approached by some lawyers that said, we want to, Chess Records, the catalog was bought by a small record label in New Jersey named Sugar Hill. And we want you to buy it back. We'll finance it, give you 49%. You can run it. Will you go try to buy it back for us? We'll raise the money. And I said, wow, I didn't even know that it happened. I went out. I was living in New York, so it was a few hours away. I drove. I made an appointment to see this man, Joe Robinson, the president of Sugar Hill Records. I knew nothing about Sugar Hill Records other than they were a black label that had hits, and they somehow had acquired the Chess catalog. And I went in to see this guy, Joe Robinson, and I went into the office. I said, I want to buy it. I'll offer you $1 million for the Chess catalog. You haven't put out anything yet. I heard, you got it somehow. He said, Marshall, I'd kiss your white butt if you had come here 3 months ago. He said, me and Sylvia, that was his wife, Sylvia Robinson, we just made millions of dollars. We got the biggest record we've ever had, and was the first really giant rap hip-hop record called Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I just bought a Rolls Royce last week for Sylvia. He said, what can I do to get you to help me with this Chess catalog? Well, like I said, I wanted to make some money, so I made a deal with him. And it was over, and I went there. I said, I got to hire a couple of people, and we'll put out albums. So I did that. We put out about 7 albums. I hired one person and a second one. And then he started owing me money. And I said, instead of you paying me, he had 2 recording studios. I had been hanging out. I love musicians. I love recording studios. I love making records. I was hanging out in studios constantly. That was right at the beginning of electronic music. It was really live. Rap, hip-hop music was live music behind it. And they had this fabulous band there. It was like one of the Chess bands. and I became very friendly with all of them, and two of them are on this album. Keith LeBlanc, the hardcore producer of the record, who unfortunately passed away last month, he's not enjoying all the success we're getting with this record, unfortunately, which you can hear from heaven, wherever he is. But he was a drummer from 4 years old, one of those child prodigies. Mm-hmm. And Skip McDonald, who in England is known as Little Axe, had his own career he's like a star in England. He was part of the Sugar Hill Rhythm Section. And, I got to know all these guys, and we got, and Keith LeBlanc and I got the idea to make a rap 12-inch record, and we used the speeches of Malcolm X and made a record called No Sellout, which became like a hip-hop classic in England. It was a big hit, one of those first 12-inch rap records. During the same time, Sugar Hill had a lot of big hits. They had White Lines. They had Grandmaster Flash, Wheels of Steel. They had all these big million sellers. So I ended up that deal ended up not doing so well. They ended up not paying me after I put out that rap record. I went back to the country, but I stayed friends with all those musicians. And then years later, we got an idea. I got the idea to add. The original, since I said Sugar Hill owns these masters, let's get the voices of Muddy Waters, Howling Wolf, and add them. We'll make new tracks. And this guy, Keith LeBlanc, him and I made new tracks, and we added these voices. And then we had trouble getting legal permission from Universal, who now owned the Chess catalog by that time. They didn't want to give us permission, but so that was the original idea. And some of the songs were the same. And then during COVID, I had some surgery. I was laying on my back. I was bored. I decided I wanted to do something to keep active. And he was bored. Everyone was home, bored.
Right, yeah.
And we started talking.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second and hit the pause button because we're going to break at COVID.
Well, hang in there. We'll be right back on WGN.
She said, I'm so glad I'm living, baby, I'm so glad you're mine.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. You're listening to one of the wonderful cuts from the album New Moves, the Chess Project. And this is one of the many cuts on the album that, to me, is like a mini history lesson. I mean, you listen to the current version with Bernard Fowler doing the vocals. And I think back to when I first heard that, which was on Elvis Presley's second album, when he did it as a track called So Glad You're Man, You're Mine. But then if you go back to the original version was by Arthur Big Boy Crudup, who was a blues performer, who also did That's All Right Mama and My Baby Left Me and things like that. So it's like you can trace the history back to the beginning of all of these songs. And that's one of the fun side trips you can take when you listen to this album.
And we are tracing the history of this new album called New Moves. It's the Chess Project, and with us is Marshall Chess. Now, Marshall, we were talking about the fact that you were flat of your back, you had some back surgery, and you were bored, like everybody in the
right,
whole wide
I was
world.
Bored.
Yeah.
And Keith called me up, and he said, you know, by that time has flown. He built a studio in Connecticut. So he learned how to be an engineer, and he mastered the time had changed from that first story I told you about having to record single track mono.
Yeah,
now
right.
It was recording via the internet. He said, Marshall,
right.
We can make this record. And by, you know, he said, I know the best musicians in the world. They're all home. I can do this. Let's start. You can pay him with PayPal. We can make a record, this record. So we did it, and, you know, musicians.
Wow.
So, again, using the old Chess philosophy, the best players make the best music, man.
Yeah.
This album's got amazing people. Eric Gales, who played with Santana on guitar. Paul Lewinsky, he's the last of the great upright bass players. He played with Keith, I know all the Keith Richards stuff. He played with, it's amazing. Mono Neon played with Prince. We heard about this bass player, a girl from Bombay, India. We put her on Mohini Day. The harmonica player was Alan Glenn, who originally was with the Kinks. Remember that English band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Yeah. So these are some of the best players. And we did it. You know, we put it all together and mixed it. And the magic remained. I was shocked. And because of COVID, we had a lot of time, and everyone loved doing it. And that's really how it developed. I picked all the songs really based on a lot of my life experiences.
Right.
Unfortunately, I've had a lot of female problems in my life. And I discovered long ago that the great part about blues, it was like going to a psychiatrist, you know?
Yeah. That's right, yes.
You had trouble with a woman. Yeah, you had trouble with a woman. You found out like another 10 million men had the same problem.
And you could just cry.
If your girlfriend cheated on you, another 10 million men, they had that, you know?
Hey, Marshall, so it goes the other way, too, believe me.
Yeah,
women being cheated on by men. Yes.
So I picked these songs, but by now, and then I picked two about being old, because I'm old. You know, the song Mother Earth, both my younger sister died accidental death, and I always played that song Mother Earth because it's so poetic. You know, no matter how rich you are, no matter what you do, everyone's going back to Mother Earth. It sort of makes, you know, so I picked all these songs, and we've got all these guys together, and one girl, Mohini, and it came out great, you know, it really did.
Can we get you to go back to the your early family, and actually the name of the label now?
Yeah, the record label is spelled CZYZ. I don't want to try to pronounce it.
It's hard. It's in Polish, it would be Chez. And my grandfather, basically, I there was a famous book written about my family called Spinning Blues into Gold. That's when I discovered that was the first name. It was on the manifest on the boat that they came over on. And I guess when my grandfather, who came 7 years before the rest of the family, from a small village in Poland, which is now in Belarus, which was called Muttel. And when he got to Ellis Island, they said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Joseph Chess." He said, "It's Chess now in America, and that's how the name Chess up."
Wow.
So I found that out, and I made that the name of my production company.
No I love it.
Pronounce it. They all called CZYZ. So
CZYZ. Chess, yes. That is a really cool story, and how neat. And your son works with you, too, right, Jamar?
My son, who I... Laid on, I told him when he was in high school, I said, go in the music business. There's nothing more fun. You don't have to wear suits and ties. You can go all around the world. You know, it's just fun. I never, even to this day, I've never felt I worked today. I've loved every second of my, I love right now talking to you about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into it, and after he produced, I took him to Italy. He had his first sale of an Italian rap record. He met an Italian rapper in college, and he produced it. And I showed him, and he tried to sell it. And then he worked with me as a music publisher. And now he's a very successful music publisher with, believe it or not, mostly Latin music.
Spanish. Oh, cool. Yeah.
He did all the music on that famous Netflix series, Narcos. Mm-hmm. All that music on there was from him, yeah. So, yeah, he's the third-generation music man, record man, we call him. Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Can you tell us a little bit about Bernard Fowler, who does the vocals?
Bernard
what a great
Fowler.
Voice.
Well, so we needed a vocalist for this project. And we kept thinking, who shall we use? And I knew about Bernard. Bernard, as well as being one of the best R&B vocalist I've ever heard. I mean, he does any style. He can sing opera. He's just a fabulous vocalist. He's been singing and traveling with the Rolling Stones for 15 years. He's on the side of the stage when Keith and Mick sing their parts. He fattens them up. He's that good. You don't even know. And he also does all the background parts from on the stage.
Wow.
So we knew about him, and he agreed to do it. He's touring with him now. They're about to go on a 20-city tour.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go out with these. You know, he's doing. So we got him, and I gave him, I said, Bernard, he said, well, how do I approach this? I said, just listen to all the old, I want you to, you know, if it's a Muddy Waters song, think of Muddy Waters when he was young, not as an old folk singer to white people. Think how he was when he was playing those bars on the West Side in Chicago.
Right.
Think that energy. And he got it, you know, he really got it, you know. And I had one thought, I'll tell you, it was sort of a funny story, a good music story. The last track we did, Help Me, that was, we couldn't, which is the most unique, different track, original track, I feel, on the album. But he wouldn't sing it the way Keith and I wanted to. He just wouldn't do it. As well as being a great singer, he's also got a big ego, and he hates to take direction. You know, he's a rock boy. No, he's one of those types. But I'm good at it. I've been doing it my whole life. So we decided to take it a step past the internet. Now, by this time, you could do it where I could virtually be there. I'm sitting where I am now in my chair in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. He was in a studio in L.A. Mm-hmm. I was actually at the board. I was, like, sitting there looking at him through the window. And Keith was in Connecticut in a little window.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was virtually there with him. So I could push him, you know, live to real time. And he still wouldn't do it right. And I told him that story I told you about my dad telling me, take another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my first. And I told him that story, and I said, you know, Bernard, I did that with Mick Jagger. He said, what, with Mick? Mick listened to you? I said, yeah. I said, we were recording live with our truck at Stargrove's Mick house. It was the middle of the night, and I was in the truck, and Mick was doing the vocal to the famous song Moonlight Mile. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very shy with the Stones at first. I was at all the sessions, but I didn't give them too much push or direction. But I thought he could do that better. And I said, Bernard, I kept telling Mick, do it again. And I said, he did, and it came out great. And he said, well, if Mick could do it, I could do it. And then he turned around and did the song just the way we wanted it.
You know? I love that.
And it was good enough for Mick, you could do it, you know?
That is too cool.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful
yes.
album. People can get it at their
I checked. You can
Amazon.
Download it.
Any download site in the world, you can get it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Before we say goodnight, I have to ask you, since we've spent a little bit of time talking about your history and your dad, what do you think your dad would say about this new CD, New Moves, The Chess Project?
What he always told me with all my projects, he said, remember, man, if you're too far ahead of time, it's like being too far behind time.
Oh.
You know, he was, oh, God, he was always worried. Because we did that all the time at Chess.
Uh-huh.
We took a lot of chances with music.
Yeah.
But after Rotary Connection, he trusted me. He thought that was crazy.
You proved it.
He thought I was crazy. He was shocked. I became the star of the family because... It took off. You remember, it's still a big station, WLS in Chicago.
I used to work there.
Right. WLS, Art Roberts was the disc jockey.
Yep.
And he played Rotary, and Rotary had broke big in Chicago. And all these big orders. My father looked at me and said, I can't believe it. You were right, you know. You took a chance. And he says, now you know how it feels when you take a chance and you hit it, you know.
Yeah.
And Marshall, with Chuck Berry. He took that chance, you know. And the birth of rock and roll happened on Michigan Avenue, you know.
Amen.
I know New York is home for you now, but if you ever get back to Chicago, we would love to get you in the studio and meet you in person. This has been an absolute kick.
I promise you, if I take another road trip, I'm going to pick you up on that, you know. I'm always into promoting, man. I'll have another record by then.
Okay.
Good. I have no doubt. And congratulations on New Moves.
And I'm thrilled
thank
to be
you.
On the station WGN, my old Chicago home station.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Take care, Marshall.
It's a real pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.
What a kick.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's so energetic about this project.
82 years old, and he's pumped.
And it's an hour later there in New York, and he's chomping at the bit. I love his stories, too.
And you can hear his enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And honestly, it is a wonderful album.
We didn't say this, but people should know these are not covers of chess music. This is original material.
It's original material. Some of it is some of the older songs done in a much different way. They're all new tracks.
Exactly.
Really, really good stuff. And the album is called New Moves, The Chess Project. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
She can sure enough make my little light shine. I get funny feelings up and down my spine. Cause I know that my Elvira's mine. Elvira. Elvira.
Steve King and Johnny Putnam. And that's not the Oak Ridge Boys.
Nope.
That's Dallas Frazier, the guy who wrote the song, Giddy Up, Oom Papa, Mau Mau. You don't get lyrics like that
anymore.
You
don't, no. So Robin had chosen that as, actually, the Oak Ridge Boys version of Elvira is a song that she never gets tired of hearing. And I imagine Robin's going, wait, that's not the Oak Ridge Boys. I did not know that they did almost exactly the same song.
Oh, yeah.
As he did.
Basically, they took his arrangement and said, we think we could do something with this.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's wild. And back to the conversation with Marshall Chesson, we were saying off the air that he is a bundle of energy.
82 years old.
Wow. Yeah. I love the fact that he's so excited and energetic over this new project, and it kind of made me think of Les Paul, who said
in fact,
that's what kept him going.
When Marshall was talking about the psychiatrist, I flashed on a conversation we had with Les where he said that the guitar is his best psychiatrist.
Yep.
He said, if you think about it, he said, it's got curves like a woman.
Yes.
But if you got problems, you just
you get lost in it. Yeah, yeah. Gosh. Les had said that doing his Monday night shows in New York were really what kept him going. And when he'd have a little...
And for anybody who doesn't know, Les, at 94 years old, Les was still playing a jazz club in New York.
Yeah.
And
so for people
he would
who
be
say,
playing with people like Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, Tony Bennett, Paul McCartney, those guys. But for people who say, well, why did you guys come back to doing a Saturday night show? Because we maintain if you like what you're doing, it can keep you alive. It can keep you going. And I think Marshall is a good example of that.
And also for people, and I will just interject this because we hear so often for so many people saying, why don't you come back and do it five nights a week? WGN management wanted us to come back and do it five nights a week. They made us wonderful, wonderful offers, and we said, thank you, but we're kind of enjoying we're at a place where we're enjoying having some time to do what we want to do. And they said, well, could you at least come back one night a week? And they gave us the kind of freedom that you just don't get in radio these days. So we said, yeah, okay. So here we are, because we enjoy doing it.
Well, speaking of radio, we didn't talk about the fact that Chess Records kind of morphed into from just doing recording music, but doing radio as well.
And they started what is one of the legendary black radio stations, still alive and well in Chicago, WVON.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, they had an FM station, WSDM, and it was the call letters were given because it was smack dab in the middle of the dial, and they started out with an all-female air staff, and their slogan was the station with the girls and all that jazz. and it was a very successful radio station. And back to the Rotary Connection, a lot of people don't remember that. I just blanked on her name. This is horrible. Lead singer with the Rotary Connection.
With the 5-octave voice?
5-octave voice range. And she had a hit called Loving You in the 70s. Why am I not getting
Minnie
her name?
Minnie Riperton?
Yes.
Minnie Riperton,
no,
yes.
Thank you.
Literally.
He was looking at me, and I'm like, I'm freezing.
And I had the chance to see Minnie in concert when I was working in Indianapolis, and she was the Rotary Connection. We're doing a concert in Evansville, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So we drove up to see and to hear her do that 5-octave voice Ooh. Range in
Amazing.
Person, just extraordinary.
Yeah.
And she is, okay, 6 degrees of separation, and again, brain fade. Minnie Riperton, the mother of Saturday Night Live.
Maya Rudolph.
Rudolph,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, thank you, Steve.
The three of us together, we can make one one thought.
Pieces of our brains.
That's just great.
Yes.
And, of course, we could go to the internet and find these things, but instead we'd rather, squeeze it out.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, and in fact, Steve, this whole business of doing something that you love kind of applies to you too, Steve Ruxton, because right?
I thought you were talking to your husband.
No.
Okay.
I should just
two say, Steves, no waiting.
I should call him as I have in the past, Teddy Steve Ruxton.
Wait.
Yeah.
You're going to bring that name back.
Yeah. Remember those good old days when I aggravated you with Teddy Steve Ruxton?
Yeah, Teddy Ruxpin.
Yes.
just call me Steve.
Do kids here, let me ask the kids here in the studio, do you know what I'm talking about when I say
Heck
Teddy?
No.
You know,
Teddy
no.
Ruxton? Does that mean anything to you, Becca?
Oh, it was a teddy bear.
Becca's about
it's
to
like
Google
in the
it.
80s.
Yes,
Caleb,
maybe late
Teddy
70s,
Ruxton.
80s.
He's shaking his head. No.
Okay.
So he was a smart teddy bear, though. He wasn't just a dumb...
Super hot toy. Every kid wanted the toy.
That's true.
Okay, Becca, what are you finding about Teddy Ruxton?
I found the bear. It... Okay.
You probably, if you had one, you could sell it for a ton of money on eBay.
I have
you
one.
Could. You
I have
one?
A Teddy Ruxton, yes.
What's the condition?
Perfect. Absolutely
wow.
perfect. Yes,
there's your retirement
I have
right there.
Hey, I have fur babies. Remember them?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I got them still
I
in the box.
I didn't know you had a Teddy Ruxpin.
Yes, that's why I like to aggravate you with it because I love my Teddy
What do you
Ruxpin.
Call him, Teddy?
No, I call him Steve.
No, I call him Steve. Right.
I wonder if they really are worth anything.
I bet, you know, I'm going to look it up.
Okay, Becca's Googling it, too.
I'm looking at the pictures of it. It's the
It was
style.
Smart.
Yeah, it's making me think of a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic. Just the way the face is stylized.
Kind of scary.
A little bit unnerving, yeah.
Yeah, a little unnerving.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kids
I think sold to the right market. You might have some money
and
on
And remember, it was good technology for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really ahead of it because every kid
baby.
Wanted it. Oh, yeah.
Here's
Do you remember? We actually had people reporting from lines that were, people standing in line to buy one of these things, just like they did with fur babies. I remember my dad stood in line outside of Montgomery Ward's.
Johnny,
in
you
the
know
snow.
What year your teddy is?
First year.
Okay. I don't know what the first year is, but I'm looking online. A working Teddy Ruxpin vintage 1985 in the original box, mint condition, $1,000.
Oh,
that's what I'm
holding off till it's more like five.
Geez. You don't have the box though, right?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you
get
do
the whole thing. Yes.
Oh, man.
In fact, when it comes to collectibles, one of the things we've found out is that sometimes the packaging is actually worth more than the original thing. If you've got it, whatever it is, in the original box or wrapper, ka-ching,
so
ka-ching, ka-ching.
If you take nothing else from the show tonight,
you never
learned
took it
that.
Out and hugged it? It was always in the box?
This is true. Well, Steve's in the newsroom, and he'll keep us up to date on things like that throughout the night, so stay with us. And we've got a lot more coming up, like Cicada Talk. Cicada-geddon is going to happen. real soon, as if you've not heard that, if you've been listening to this radio station, you kind of got a sense that there's this little thing called a cicada infestation that's going to happen. And we're going to talk to a guy who knows all about it coming up right here on WGN.
Kang and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Yes, he's singing about cicadas.
He really is.
There are a whole bunch of songs about cicadas, which I think is so cool. You're going to hear a lot of them tonight on the radio, too.
Yes, believe it or not, we have a cicada music library.
We do, because Cicadageddon is going to be happening. We have friends that have thermometers in the ground. They're waiting for that magic temperature when there will be a brood awakening. Two broods, are going to emerge. And, I'm the person, I've said it forever, I'm the one that would stand out on my patio every summer and shake my fist to the heavens and say, shut up!
For years, Johnny and I have had this conversation.
And you said, well, it's not so bad. And go, it's making me nuts! This year, I've decided I'm going to approach this differently. This is amazing.
You're even following a cicada Facebook group now.
I am, and I'm excited because we have environmental educator with Lake County Forest Preserves with us now. He is Mark Hurley. He knows about cicadas. Mark, thank you so much for joining us tonight on WGN.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to this.
Well, I'm serious. I have decided to turn over a new leaf. I am not going to hate them. I'm not going to shake my fist to the heavens. This is a pretty cool event, right?
Oh, it's quite a natural phenomenon, and it's right here in the Chicago area for sure. And, you know, with the emergence of our brood, which is going to be 13, and there's even, if you go statewide, we have brood 19 emerging as well in the southern part of Illinois, and that hasn't happened in 221 years.
Now, I have to ask you, how many other parts of the country will be experiencing this, or is this unique to the Midwest and specifically to Illinois is ground zero?
Well, let's take it two ways. So let's talk about our brood, which is brood 13, and northern Illinois is sort of ground zero for that brood. Now, there are a few counties in southern Wisconsin, and one or two in Iowa, one or two in Michigan, and a little bit of Indiana, going down to the central part of this state, that's where the brood 13 is. And it's as far as sheer numbers of cicadas that will emerge go, we think it's the second largest in the country. So then you also have brood 13, and they're in the southern half of Illinois, and then a number of other states. Geographically, or as far as states go, that's the biggest brood.
I want to pause you for kind of a jargon alert. When we're talking about a brood, are we talking about like a particular
breed?
Type of cicada or a hive, or what are we talking about?
A brood is a group of, in this case, insects that emerge. Well, they basically grow up and emerge at this and mate at the same time, you know, on a regular basis. And you could have, you know, other groups of animals can do the same thing, but that's just what this case is. And to break it down a little further, let's talk about our brood, 13. So there are three different species of cicadas that will be emerging, and they're all extremely similar looking. The best way to ID them is to just pick one up, take a look at its underside, and you can, there are a couple of field marks on each one to help you ID, you know, which one it is. And then you'll also hear the three calls. They each have their own call, too. And if I just say the brood 13, there are four different species that are very similar looking. So we have three.
Wow.
Now I'm going to hold you on one other thing. Because we're not born knowing all this stuff. is it safe to pick up a cicada? Is there anything you need to worry about if you're doing
like
this?
Like cicada juice.
No, there's nothing to worry about. And I want to make sure I said the right thing there, the last sentence. It's brood 19 as the four species. I'm not sure if I mixed that up. So, no, they don't bite. They don't sting. They'll grab on you with their little foreclaws and walk around a little bit, but they're completely harmless. Sometimes when you pick them up, they will squirt, you know, a little juice out of their abdomen, but that's just a defense mechanism. It's harmless. You know, hey, when you're slow moving, you got to have things like that to protect yourself.
Well, there have been some talk about the fact that we were supposed to cover up our lawn furniture, for example. And if you're going to be out among trees, you got to wear a hat because they might urinate on you.
Well, they do drink plant sap. So, you know, they do have to go to the bathroom every now and then, for sure.
Mark, this may surprise you, but my child bride did some research and discovered what about cicada urination compared with an elephant urination?
Their stream is stronger than an elephant's stream.
It is. It is. They have a unique digestive system. Let's just put it that way.
They are amazing. And I feel bad for all these years, the summers, growing up in Chicago, shaking my fist to the heavens. I've been reading about them, and I'm thinking, what was God thinking? He made them come out of the ground. And
as I understand it, mate, get born, have sex, and die.
Die. Right?
That's pretty much the deal, right?
I guess they die happy, though.
Well, in this case, they live 17 years, and all that happens within that time period, yes.
Wow, for 17 years. Are there cicadas in other countries, or is this just a North American thing?
Well, so there are two different types of cicadas. So ours are we have both here. We have periodic cicadas, and I'll focus on the 17-year cicadas, and that's what they are. And then we have the annual cicadas, and those are the ones that you hear every summer.
Okay.
Calling in the treetops, you know, on the hot days in, you know, August, September, right. That time of the year. So they actually live 2 to 5 years. Under the ground, so they're growing down there as well. But there's always some every summer that do emerge. So that's how they got the you know termed annual, because they're coming out every year.
Okay.
But the periodic cicadas, the 13 and 17 year, they're only found in, I'll call it, the eastern half of the United States. Basically, there are other cicadas throughout the world, though. And quite a few others in the United States.
And this emergence that will occur in the trillions, not the hundreds, not the thousands, but the trillions of cicadas, has not happened for over 200 years.
Isn't this, or am I mistaken, that this is basically two large groups getting together and saying hi?
Yes.
Pretty much. And these two broods or groups will overlap in a couple of counties in central Illinois, around the Champaign, Urbana, Rantoul area. And that hasn't happened again in 221 years.
Just think what the world was like then, 221
right.
years. That just
right.
blows my mind. But that also explains why they're having festivals down in central Illinois, because they're going to get everything going. Hey, Mark,
exactly.
Hold your thought. We're going to come right back talking about what's now become my favorite subject, cicadas. Mark is an environmental educator with the Lake County Forest Preserve. We'll tell you about some things happening there that you might want to check out. So stay with us here on WGN.
But baby girl, you're the only one, for me.
Do I really have to interrupt this? I'm loving this. This is, by the way, this is Dr. Sammy Ramsey, and it's called Big Red Eyes.
He is singing as though he is a cicada.
Yeah.
And in the video, he's wearing red, bulging sunglasses, there's a little text that runs under. He says, we're getting all soulful because, you know, cicadas are black and all. It gets really crazy.
I may
crazy.
Have to post this one on our Facebook page now.
Dr. Sammy Ramsey. Wow. I told you, there's cicada music out there, and you're going to hear it tonight because we're talking cicadas. With us is Mark Hurley, environmental educator with the Lake County Forest Preserve. And we're talking about this emergence of two broods, 13 and 19. And the fact that this hasn't happened for hundreds of years. And
by the way, Mark, are you going to add this to your cicada music library?
Dr.
Yeah,
Ramsey?
You saved me a question there by telling me who sings that. You know, we have there's a number of things popping up, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. So let me ask you the question that a lot of people are asking. Is this something that you should be trying to protect your trees and your vegetation by, I don't know, spraying a pesticide of some kind to keep the cicadas from coming out and latching onto your plants and your trees?
Right. We get that question a lot. But there's no need to do pesticides or anything like that. I mean, for one, you know, they harm other insects as well and other animals, too. And you're never going to get them all either. I mean, we're talking, you know, there's some areas will have over a million per acre. But if you have a general rule of thumb, when they emerge and after mating, the females are going to look for pencil diameter sized tree limbs. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're going to go up and they're going to lay their eggs the tree limbs that are about that size. A lot of them are going to go up in the canopies. They're going to be way up there. But smaller trees in your yard, you have to have cicadas for this to occur. Not everyone's going to have them in their yard or in the neighborhood. They may go on to smaller trees and lay their eggs. And they could stress those trees by doing that. But the general rule of thumb is if the trunk diameter of the sapling or the small tree or the shrub is 2-3 inches, the tree's probably going to be just fine. But there are some products out there. We've been taking calls and emails on this already at work. There's a good video on YouTube how to cover your trees with a cheesecloth, and there's some other products
right.
as well. Even saw at Home Depot's got something too now, the big cicada on the label too. So that's a good rule of thumb. They'll start to emerge very, very end of May. I still think we're on track for
really?
That time period. Right.
I said at the outset that we have friends that have thermometers in the ground, and they say, look, it's up to 58 degrees in the ground, and they're aiming for, 63, 64 degrees before they'll come out of the ground?
64. Now, did they come to 58 degrees at this point?
Yeah.
We were wondering.
Yeah, yeah. The western suburbs, I'll send you that information because she has a picture on Facebook where it shows it's 58 degrees. And I thought, oh, we're getting really close. Because like you, many people are saying this is going to be like a May-June thing. But we're already seeing holes in the ground that looks like they're making their little burrow to come up out of that hole.
Oh, yeah. They're up in the upper inches of the soil right now. I saw some today. At work in a forest preserve, I work at Ryerson Woods up in the Deerfield Lincolnshire area. There were some that were flooded out of their tunnels from the rain we had, and they were walking around. But if you just lift something out of your backyard, a kiddie pool or anything that's been there for a while, they're up underneath it, ready to emerge. Now, you mentioned the western suburbs, so west of Chicago and south of Chicago. It's a little warmer than up in Lake County, the county I work for, Deerfield area and the other towns up there. So those ones out west, they're away from the lake, and they're going to come out a few days beforehand.
Okay.
But no doubt, they're ready to come out. We're still getting fairly chilly nights, not necessarily tonight, but, we got a little ways to go yet, I think.
Okay, Mark, I have to ask you, because we hear about various different species, bees pollinate, provide honey and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do cicadas do?
It's worthwhile?
Why do we, right. other than the fact that they're going to be here, make
noise,
have sex, and die, what do cicadas do that we're going to say, we're glad they were here?
There's a reason for everything. I mean, so think about this. Now, there are millions of these things, trillions probably, in the eastern United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they're crawling around down there in the soil. And by doing that, they're aerating the soil. They're churning it. And they're allowing for hydration of the soil. And then when they emerge, they're just a massive food source for so many species of birds and mammals.
Oh.
amphibians, reptiles. I even saw in 2007, cicadas were falling out of the trees because they're kind of clumsy, landing in the Des Plaines River and watching the carp eat them. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Everything feeds on them.
So on the plus side, they're irrigating and they're providing food.
You got it.
And just when I think I'm warming up to the whole concept of this emergence of cicadas, I imagine them falling out of trees and carp jumping up out of the water to eat them. And I'm like, oh, that gives me the willies.
You know, Johnny, they actually weren't jumping. They were coming up and real delicately just picking them off the surface with their carp lips.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe you can answer the question because you're talking about how they're burrowing through the ground and making their way up. Is that why we don't see them in Florida? Because we're dealing with wet sand and we just don't have them here.
No, that's a good question. These are a forest animal that, you know, our deciduous forest that we have in the eastern parts of the United States. That's where they live. That's what they like. You're not going to find them in prairies. You're not going to find them in wetlands. You're not going to find them in sandy areas yet. That's the reason.
On beaches. They're not going to be on the beach.
Right. Right.
Good.
Right. Now, Florida has cicadas, but they don't have, you know, the periodic ones.
Right.
So the the Gulf Coast may have Garth Brooks and Kickoff Jam and Jazz Fest, but they don't get cicadas.
That's right.
That's
not
right,
like this.
That's right. We're one up on them there.
We're going to take a break, come back, because we've got more
we've
questions.
We've got more Mark and more cicada jams.
We do. Coming up. Here on WGN.
Trees, after 17 long years, you have finally broken free. After 17 long years, you have finally broken free.
Whoa. Steve Kent and Johnny Putner of WGN Radio. After 17 long years, you're finally broken free.
That's Jen Schaefer and the Shiners with 17 years.
Has anybody ever come out with an album of cicada songs?
It took a little bit of work to come up with these today, and I know you guys are happy I did that. You're tickled. We are talking cicadas with environmental educator with Lake County Forest Preserve. His name is Mark Hurley. Mark, I'm going to ask you to take us back, if you don't mind, because we talked about the two different broods, the 13 and the 19, and the areas that we'll see an emergence of both of them, and the fact that we could just literally see the ground littered with these creatures. So they come out, and the sound that they're making is a mating sound, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're making, that's their mating call. And so then they...
Do they have different mating calls?
Each brood has a different mating call, right, Mark?
Well, each species has a different mating call. So, again, in our brood, we have three different species that will be emerging at the same time. And, you know, one or two of the species is more prominent than the other. Just depends on the area that you're in. So once they emerge, they head for a stationary object, you know, inside of a house or typically a tree,
right.
And then they come out of their exoskeleton. So they're in a nymph stage when they come out of the ground. They look a lot different than when they're an adult. So it takes a few hours for them to turn into an adult, and then they head up to the treetops. And this will answer your question. The males will actually go to what are called chorus centers in the canopy of, you know, the certain parts of the canopy, and then they'll start their singing. So each one has its own song, and the songs are made by two unique body parts, and they're called timbals. And when you're holding a cicada, if it's a male, he'll do a stress call, and he'll use those timbals, and you can see these two really interesting organs working and making that sound, and it projects out of their hollow part of their hollow thorax and part of their hollow abdomen. It's like a an amplifier almost.
Wow.
Are the males the only ones who do the mating call, or do the females have any kind of a call that they
a response?
Right. They have a so what the females are drawn to the male, and then they'll approach them and or him, and then she'll do a wing click, a clicking and a flicking of her wings. Right, and then, you know, they'll...
It works every time.
A little more. It works. That's right. And if they like each other, well, then you know what happens.
So, but that, this is where I, you lose me, though. So they go up in the trees, they find a pencil, like, branch, and they hang on to that, and they lay their eggs. They then die. How do the eggs then get back into the ground?
Is it just gravity, or what gets it to the ground?
Well, no, the eggs don't go into the ground. So after the female lays the eggs, and she lays between 400 and 600, okay?
Whoa.
Each, yeah. And at this point, the male is probably dead. And so after she lays these 400
eggs, I hate when that happens.
Then she dies. She dies a few days after that. And the eggs, well, let's just say that we'll pick a date. Let's say June 15th, she lays her eggs. Mm-hmm. About July 15th, or maybe a week or so after that, 4, 5, 6 weeks, just depends, the eggs all hatch. And then the babies, they drift down. They literally fall out of the egg case, and they drop down to the ground from the treetops. Mm-hmm. And they instinctively, and they're about the size of a grain of rice, and they're kind of white looking. Yeah, and they instinctively start burrowing fast because they don't want to get eaten. And then they tap into a tree root or a grass root at that point and start drinking plant sap. And eventually they go through a couple of stages of growth and they sort of graduate to tree roots and they'll tap into a tree root. And that's where they... when they don't remain on the same tree root, but that's pretty much the area they remain and feed on the fluid that's moving up through the root system to the tops of the trees for 17 years.
And that's okay. How they develop their shell then while they're sucking on the sap? And
it grows right along with them.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, this may be a dumb question, but I have many. During this period of time, are they... awake, or are they hibernating, or are they aware of what they're doing during this period of living underground?
Right, when they're down the ground that long, they're down below the frost line. I think you know, I don't know for sure, but I think they're awake the whole time. You know, insects don't nap or sleep like we do, but they probably may go into some dormancy stages. But for the most part, that fluid that they're tapped into is just going in and out, in the one end, out the other. Yeah.
This is, again, this has changed my vision of these hideous looking creatures. Again, they are just.
But I have to ask you, did you wake up one morning and discover and just decide, I want to learn all about cicadas?
What led you to this? Right. Well, I've kind of grew up in nature as a kid and was around it, and then I've been working for Lake County Forest Preserve right out of college. I was hired back in 1989, and coincidentally, in 1990 was my first cicada brood 13 emergence, and it was kind of a big deal in 1990, but it wasn't celebrated like it was. In 2007 was the next one. I would do a lot of interviews, and so did my coworkers, and we had programs and events and things, and it was a big deal in 2007, and it's becoming a big deal now. We'll just see, as the next month unfolds and we get into June, what it's really going to be like as far as how the public grasps this. But I've always had an affinity for nature, obviously, and insects too. So, and when you work for an organization like Lake County Forest Preserve, and you teach people about these things, you got to know about them, you want to share that knowledge. So that's how it happened.
Of the things that you're involved with the Lake County Forest Preserve District, how big a deal, how does this rank on the big deal scale of things that you're involved with?
For me, it's the biggest. and I'm sure some of my coworkers are probably tired of me talking about it constantly. But no, seriously though, I have a great group of coworkers from different departments in the Forest Preserve District, and so many of us have jumped on this, and from our public relations to our ecologists to my fellow educators, we love this. This is a big deal. I mean, I've been working on this emergence now and planning things for it for almost a year already.
Wow. So, mm-hmm. and something that I read today that kind of, I guess, startled me and helped me adjust my attitude was, if you got excited about the eclipse, if you get excited right. about some comet that's going to be visible in this night sky, you should be excited about this emergence, because this is a really, really interesting, unusual phenomena that ain't going to happen for an awful long time. So instead of hating it, you got to come around to the wonder of it. And I went,
right. And it,
oh,
you're
okay.
Right. And just yeah. embrace it. You know,
yeah.
it's so unique. And it's one of these natural phenomenons that, you know, there are some throughout the world, but this one's right here, you know, and we're going to be in the middle of it for a month.
And if there is ever a cicada emergence that aligns with an eclipse,
yeah.
Katie bar the door.
That's right.
Right.
Mark, what is the word that I keep coming across? Magic is in it. Magicicada?
Right, magicicada. That's the scientific name of the periodic cicada.
I found that fascinating, that the word magic mm-hmm. is in
there. They threw it in there. Yep.
Their scientific mm-hmm. name. Yeah.
It's in there for a reason. Mm-hmm.
When your ground is littered with them and your dog goes out to do his business and your dog starts chomping, is that something we should be concerned about? If the dog is eating the whole cicadas or just enjoying the crunch?
So, you know, we get that question too. Some dogs are going to eat them. Some dogs aren't. Some dogs are going to eat a few, and that's not going to be a problem. But, you know, there's going to be some, you know, that just eat too many and probably will throw them up, but everyone's going to be fine.
Okay, you have a new name, according to one of our texters from a 224 mm-hmm. area code. Your new name is Mr. Cicada. And 224 area code says, could you ask Mr. Cicada if these guys are all going to emerge from the ground or do some fly-in?
Oh.
No, they all emerge from the ground. And they, once they're up and they're adults and they're in the treetops, they don't expand their territory at all. I shouldn't say at all, but very far. They don't fly very far. That's not. They don't have a lot of time for that, and they're kind of clumsy at it. And each emergence, the territory only gets expanded by, you know, it's hard to say, but only a quarter of a mile or so in circumference.
Wow.
So, now, the reason that they're just kind of limited into, you know, certain areas.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Mark Hurley. Mark, we're going to take a break and come back, and I want you to talk a little bit about some of the specific things you've been working on that people
sure.
can enjoy at the Lake County Forest Preserve. So stay with us here on WGN.
She said it just feels inhumane to lose this month. Cause when you leave, you know you take more than your love. Just 1 week of cicada days, we're losing touch. And I know it just feels inhumane to lose this much.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. You hate to interrupt this.
I love this cicada song. It's so sweet. See, aren't you happy you joined us, Mark? Because now you're going to have so much more stuff to frustrate your colleagues with.
Well, I like how you seem to really come around to this whole
yes.
phenomenon.
Yes, and a listener has a great question. 630 area code said, ask Mr. Cicada, do the different broods crossbreed?
That's kind of a mystery. If they do, down in central Illinois, they may potentially form their own brood.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So
their own jackets and
yeah, right,
their own
right.
signs.
Right.
Wow.
I can't speak to that well. But that is a question that I've recently been asked, but I haven't had time to look that one up.
But there's apparently a lot of mystery surrounding these creatures. I mean, that goes without saying.
and not just with her question or that listener's question. There are a lot of questions about this whole thing, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I still say my question is why? Why, God? Why? Okay, what's going to be happening at the Lake County Forest Preserves that you want people to know about?
Right. Well, I think I have to start with what happened today. So at the Dunn Museum, which is our human and natural history museum at our general offices in Libertyville, we opened the Celebrating Cicadas exhibit today. So that'll run, it's a large exhibit, and that'll run until August 3rd or 4th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, very early August. So I encourage people to get out for that. Now, on the Lake County Forest Preserve website, we have some amazing pages of all cicada information that you would ever want to know about. And our newsletter right now is packed with information. That's the Horizons newsletter. If I just keep going, my coworkers and I, we're doing programs for the public as well. And May 16th, I'm doing a Zoom program that people can come in on with the foremost authority on these things. And that question that just came in would be a good one for him. And his name is Dr. Gene Kritzky. He is a professor emeritus at St. Joseph College in Cincinnati. And he worked with us in 2007. He'll be up here with us in 2024. He's just wrote a book on the co-emergence, you know, Brood 13 and 19. He's got another book or two on cicadas, and he goes way back and has a lot of history of, you know, some of our early ancestors and dignitaries, you know, talking about these things. And
really?
He's a really interesting guy. He'll be on with me May 16th, and all of this stuff can be found on the Lake County Forest Preserve website. May 20th, we have another Zoom program that people can come on me and a coworker of mine. And then June 8th at Ryerson Woods that evening, and this is going to fill up, so we're taking 100 people to come out and spend an evening with me and a couple of my coworkers and Dr. Kritzky. And these critters emerge in the dark. And there's a couple of areas at our forest preserve up at Ryerson Woods where I had in my notes from 2007, we had 10 nights of good emergence, and then we had 2 nights of phenomenal emergence. And I'm talking where, you know, this is a little, almost an exaggeration, but not much. If we hit it right, the ground almost moves with these things.
Wow.
As they're coming out.
So they only emerge at night? They never emerge during the day?
Up, there's still some that are coming out and you know, metamorphosizing or kind of turning into adults on the trees. But for the most part, they're leaving that mud cavity, yes, on the cover of darkness. And that makes sense. I mean, that, you know, the predators are out.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think, like I said before, you see a lot of different numbers, but I see a common one, 1.4, 1.5, 1.6 million of these in some forest acres.
Wow.
And I would not be surprised if a high-quality forest like Ryerson and some of the other forests we have around the Chicago area and the Great Forest Preserves, you know, that number is achievable. I just want to say one more.
Sure.
I don't want to forget. So June 8th is that evening. And then June 9th, this is our biggest event. This is Cicada Fest, and it'll be at Ryerson Woods. And we have a lot going on for families. I can't even begin to tell you how much we have going on. It's from noon to four that day. It's free.
So, Mark Hurley, I do want to mention again, you said Sunday, June 9th from noon to four is the big thing for you guys. It's your Cicada Fest, and that is going to be at the Ryerson Conservation Area in River Woods. And all of that is available on your website at Lake County Forest Preserve.
And if I can ask you one final question. How do you do this research? I mean, I know you can look at them during the day, but do you have any cameras or anything that where you dig down under the ground to see what they're doing? Or is your research limited to watching them after they have emerged?
Yeah, it's the latter. But to be honest with you, I mean, all of my, you know, time that I've spent watching these things has been on video and just researching. And there's a lot of stuff online on this animal, let me tell you. Yeah.
Is there ever, okay. She said, after spending a Saturday morning looking at everything.
Right.
Mark, I hope that we can tap into you again in the future. I know it's going to be a busy summer for you, but this is so interesting, and the questions amaze me. So let's stay in touch, and I will share with you our cicada songs. You share with us your knowledge. How's that sound?
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it. Mark Hurley, who is environmental educator with the Lake County Forest Preserve.
And I choose to believe that it was an emergence of cicadas
it sounded like
in the
it,
studio. It sounded just like it, didn't
and
it,
And it got a little louder and a little louder. So. It was kind of freaking us out.
Okay, all right. Well, more coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio. Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Every time we play that, there's some Windows users that say, what just happened?
In fact,
did they pull a plug again?
Oh, no, don't go there. We're going to talk about Windows 11 during this segment, too.
We have so much stuff we're going to talk to Patrick about. By the way, Patrick Crispin joins us now, the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC, and we want to get back to that in a second, too. We're going to talk about TikTok and Facebook and Meta and a whole bunch of things. But before we get to any of that, Patrick, is our grandson close by any chance?
He is, but he has just chickened out, so I apologize for that. He basically said that he wanted to be on the air tonight to talk about his new Lego set, and then decided not to. Joseph, as you might know, loves airplanes.
Yes.
Like, knows everything about airplanes. And became obsessed with the Concorde, and just thinks the Concorde is the greatest thing ever. And notice that the Lego company is selling a Lego Concorde set that has, and I swear I'm not making this up, 2,083 pieces. This is 3.5 feet long of Legos that you have to put together.
Wow.
Legos come in 21 different bags. We just have gone through 9 of them. We're on step 212. What's great about this is, he's building this. So what that means is I have to have the patience of Job, because I'm sitting next to him saying, no, put that piece on that piece. No, okay, do that the other way over and over again. But he is now building a 3.5 foot Lego Concorde.
Wow. You sent us a picture. I mean, he was like a kid on Christmas morning, because he was up early this morning with a pile of plastic bags on the tabletop. And I thought, what's that all about? And then I zoomed in and I saw the box. It was the Lego Concorde box. And went, oh, my gosh. I had no idea it was that big, though. That's crazy.
It's huge. Yes. And the thing is, he's been wanting this for a couple months now. So, you know, I'll pick him up from school and he'll go, Concorde, 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 Concorde. It's like, Joseph.
So the birthday came and went, and that's what he got among some other things, but that's a pretty cool present to have.
Huge present, so I have no idea where we're going to put this.
Yeah, you have to keep us up to date on the progress and maintain your patience, too.
Well, there are a ton of things we want to talk to Patrick about, but before we get to any of the computer stuff, I want to completely segue for just a second. Patrick, as we said, is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. And USC is one of many schools that have been in the news this week because of some protests. And Patrick, what can you share? I understand that there may or may not be some graduation activities that have been impacted by some of the protests going on.
Yeah, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I've always thought that one of the ways you can tell somebody's intelligence is by their humility, by their willingness to admit that they don't know certain things. I'm going to tell you right now, there are a lot of things about this that I don't know, because, you know,
it's still a fluid situation. We know that there are protests going on all over the country on college campuses. Mm-hmm. USC is one of the campuses that's been impacted by that. And we are sort of kind of trying to figure out, okay, what is the university going to do for graduation? Normally, when we have our graduation ceremony, it's actually broken up into two different parts. USC every year gives about 18,000 degrees at their graduation ceremony. So can you imagine for a minute having 18,000 people walk across the stage? That would take forever. So what mm-hmm. they have are a whole bunch of satellite commencements mm-hmm. for the individual programs and individual schools. And then they follow that up with what's called the main stage graduation. Main stage graduation is where 65,000 people come to University Park, to the alumni park at University Park. And it's an outdoor ceremony, and you know, there's a graduation speaker. Because of the protests and because of things that have been going on, not only at USC, but at other schools,
Northwestern decided, in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. USC has decided that they are canceling the main stage graduation. However, the individual satellite graduations, where you actually get your degree, where you get your mm-hmm. diploma, is they're still going to happen. Anybody who attends to participate in commencement, if it's a student, a faculty, or friends, they have to sign up for tickets, and there's going to be security to get on the campus. So the campus is sort of closed down, and that actually is makes a lot of sense because we're now in the period right before finals. The Saturday through Tuesday is what we call the quiet days, where the students are really studying. And as has always been the policy of USC, because students are preparing for and taking finals from Saturday to Tuesday, there are no events ever scheduled on campus, and no disruptive activities are allowed. So the campus has kind of closed its gates. And then we've got finals going on until the 8th, and then graduation is after that. So the university has kind of closed the campus down so that there is no outside people coming on campus. You have to have official business to come on campus. When you want to come for graduation, you have to have a ticket. And there are going to be small satellite ceremonies, but no big main stage graduation at USC this year. I will tell you, my prediction, USC is not going to be the first to do this. I think mm-hmm. that we're seeing disruptions. Whatever you want to say about these disruptions, there are disruptions that are happening. I think you guys got impacted when you were flying down, where you tried to get out, and O'Hare was shut down, or at least the roads into O'Hare. So you really want the graduation ceremony to be about the graduates and about mm-hmm. celebrating what these students have done for the last 4 years or longer. I will also tell you that the students who are graduating this year, if you think about this, mm-hmm. these are students who didn't actually, if they graduated high school in the class of 2020, they didn't get a high school graduation.
Right.
Because of COVID.
Yeah.
Because imagine going and not getting a high school graduation for COVID, spending the first year, year and a half of college on Zoom. You finally get to college and so we are going to have graduation. It's just not going to have that main stage where I think John Chu is the director of Crazy Rich Asians is going to. I apologize if that's the name of the movie. I got it wrong, but it's he was scheduled to speak, but we really just didn't want to make it so that he was concerned about his safety, that the 65,000 people who were there were concerned about their safety. We really wanted it to be about the graduates, and that's going to be the focus. And I really think you're going to see it at other schools as well.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, I think you're right. And I think one other thing, and just my thoughts, I'm disappointed in broadcast media. A lot of the newscasts that we've been listening to and watching, they're reporting on these different demonstrations. They just kind of bypass saying, and not everybody involved in the demonstration is from the campus, is from the school, is from whatever. I would like to see someone take the time to do an investigative report on the amount of people who have nothing to do with these particular institutions or places that are doing their best to instigate as much controversy, as much
unrest
as they possibly can. And sadly, I think it's only going to get worse as we get closer and closer to the election.
I agree, and I actually have a something from our provost who is saying there was a recent protest, and a quote, which is taking place outside of Doheny Library in the center of academic buildings. Participants, many of whom do not appear to be affiliated with USC, were repeatedly asked by security personnel to remove their tents, and then blah, blah, blah. Again, there are people who are affiliated with the university who are participating in this, and that's true at every institution, but there are also a lot of outsiders, and, you know, they,
whose job is to do nothing more than to foment unrest.
Yeah. Well,
on that happy note, we'll take a break, and then we'll actually talk some computer stuff with Patrick. So stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking computers with Patrick Crispin. Patrick is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine at USC. So much stuff to talk about tonight. Let me start with one of the things that we have seen so many people complaining about this week. Facebook's Meta AI intrusion into Facebook. It won't go away.
And Instagram, too.
Yeah.
You got Meta AI. And it just appeared one day. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, aren't you being pushy? Because Meta AI wants to give me so much more information about whatever in the world it is that I'm searching for. And
it doesn't give me the information I want. It doesn't give me the kind of answers I was getting.
Yes. Okay. So, Patrick, what is this all about? And why is this dastardly thing happening to Facebook and Instagram?
Well, everybody is trying to get into the AI boom now that it's out there. About a week ago, Meta rolled out a new embedded AI chatbot, and they put it in Facebook, they put it in Instagram, Messenger, and also WhatsApp. And what it does is, and you can actually see it, if you go to search, and there's going to be a new little circle. It's sort of blue and purple circle, and it's embedded in the search and chat, and you're going to see it heavily on mobile. And what it does is it's basically an AI chatbot that you can talk to or have it do something for you, or you can say, hey, can you help me compose a post to do this, or whatever. You can also, if you want to just kind of see behind the scenes what's going on, there is meta.ai, which is a new web page. No login is required unless you actually want to create images. And the bad news about this AI chatbot is turn it off. You can ignore it. Just don't click on that little blue and purple circle. But you can't disable it. It may be blocked if you're in the EU, if you're in the United Kingdom. So if you really want to force it to go away, you could try to sign up for a VPN, virtual private network, that pretends that you're in, like, the European Union.
Right.
It's there. And the reality is you're going to see AI chatbots embedded into more and more things as we go forward. Google's going to do it, and they've already started doing it. Microsoft is doing it heavily in Microsoft Office. Just because there's going to be trillions of dollars that are going to be invested and made from this, and everybody wants to be in the race.
As you know, we're all about staying up with the latest technology, but in my mind, this is a case of newer is not always better.
The thing is, I kind of agree with you on this one, in that I don't see how this really helps with Facebook or Instagram or Messenger
or WhatsApp. It may just be a lack of vision on my part, but I'm not sure what I get from putting AI in those tools. Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word or Excel or Outlook or anything, absolutely. I can see millions of use cases for doing AI in those. Mm-hmm. And I would say even Google Search. But realistically, when I go to Facebook or Instagram or Messenger or WhatsApp, I'm not really trying to get some sort of third party to interact with me to do a search or to... I'm just interacting with my friends and maybe following my friends. So I'm not quite sure what Meta's doing here. I understand why they're doing it. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, though.
No, I agree with you, too, because when I go to that search bar and I type in someone's name, and then all of a sudden I'm getting, you know, options to know more about that, it frustrates me. I guess there will come a time when I'll find that helpful. I type in cherry blossoms and suddenly I'll get every place I can see cherry blossoms or, you know, whatever. But right now, the thing that I'm seeing on Facebook are people saying, how do I turn this blasted thing off?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is
you can't,
but you're still going to find that your experience on Facebook is slightly different, but you can still do all the things you did before.
In fact, this is a case of in the past week, I have not seen one positive comment about this new Facebook AI.
Yes.
Okay,
news article that was saying, we asked Facebook how to turn it off. They gave us instructions, and we looked at the instructions. It turned out the instructions are wrong. I'm wondering if those instructions weren't written by AI.
Oh, that's good.
I bet you're right. Okay, I want to segue to a sad story from last week. Yet another thing is being added to the MySpace pile of long-gone social website experiments. Post News is shutting down. Now, Patrick, maybe. You and I may be the two only people on the show that actually were checking out Post News and thought it had some interesting potential.
When you said that to me. You said, oh, no, Post News is gone. I went, who? What? I mean, really?
It was an interesting idea, wasn't it, Patrick?
It was a cute idea. I got the idea, and this is, again, one of the earlier entrants right after everybody started leaving from Twitter, now X. And the idea of Post News was that you could get social credit or buy credit, and if there were news articles that were posted by the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal or whatever, and these things would normally be behind a firewall that you would never be able to read, you could click on those articles and pay 5 cents or 1 cent and see that article. And it was a neat idea. It never really took off. And then when Threads finally showed up, and Threads really is right now the winner of the Twitter replacement. It really has become the big thing. So you're starting to see a lot of people who were on Mastodon who are not on Mastodon anymore. You see a lot of people who are on Post and just kind of stopped going to Post. I do think that, you know, we're seeing that Threads is really good. I still like Blue Sky as an alternative news source, but I just think Threads won. And that's where everybody's going to end up.
Is Mastodon still a thing anymore, or is that going to go away?
No, it's still there. It is basically a wonderful protocol, but no, it not a lot. There aren't a lot of users on it, but the people who use it love it.
It's on life support. Okay. I'm sorry. I can't get excited. There are just so many hours in the day. I just can't go to all these places.
We're talking with Patrick Crispin, the director of educational technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. And one of the things going on tonight as we're talking with Patrick is I have in the studio with us, I have the MacBook Air. We bought another MacBook Air. We bought one up in Chicago. We liked it so much. We bought one down here. And also because Johnny got one at a great price.
I did. Brand new, not refurbished.
Yeah. And I mention this because we have a text from 847 area code.
Could Patrick tell us the high-level difference between the MacBook Pros and MacBook Air?
Yeah, and it's a wonderful question. And the question is, what do you want to do? The MacBook Pros really are meant for professionals. I would say that it's a little extra weighty. It's got the same processor, or actually maybe a little better processor, depending on how much you pay for it. But it's also just meant for people who are professionals who are doing video rendering, video editing, color correction. That's what the whole point is. The MacBook Air is really the laptop that I recommend for everybody, unless you know that you're in the professional category, in which case you already know what you're going to get. For most home users, I think the MacBook Air is just better. It's a little thinner. It's a little lighter. Battery life is exactly the same.
Amazing.
If you have to render videos, it's going to take a little longer, but how often do you do that? It's super quiet, to the point where you just won't hear any fans because there is a fan, but it's kind of hard to hear. I just really recommend the MacBook Air for most home users. And then you can find the M2s pretty much in discount windows now, and M3s are on the stores at higher-end retailers, and they're fantastic.
And the one we got is the MacBook Air M2, and absorbed all the Kool-Aid? Am I now no longer a Windows user? No, not the case. But the MacBook Air is a great computer.
I can't believe the battery life. That just blows me away. You got it on a Sunday.
Got it on a Sunday. Charged it Sunday night. Used it every day during the week. And finally, last night, because we were going to bring it into the studio tonight, thought, you know, I might as well charge it. And it still had 30%. The battery on this thing is wonderful, and it is so light. You honestly, I don't think you'd want to haul a MacBook Pro around as much as we will probably haul the MacBook Air around.
Yeah.
I have a MacBook Pro that I have at work because I actually do render videos, and I have to tell you, the computer I have at home is a MacBook Air. I prefer the MacBook Air. The screen is great. I would very strongly, if you're looking for an M1, they're really cheap right now. I think they're $699. You are giving up a couple things if you get the M1, and let me explain what we're talking about, M1, M2, M3. Apple designs their own chips. They're made by Taiwan Semiconductor Company, and they're able to eke out some really great performance and battery life. M1 was the first one. That was about 3-4 years ago. They're still around. They're a little older. This camera on it is not as good as the camera on the newer ones, the M2s and the M3s. It's a 720p instead of a 1080. It also requires you to physically plug it in through a USB-C cable. If you get an M2 and M3, it comes with the MagSafe charger, so you free up the two ports. But I apologize. There was one other thing I forgot to mention. Depending on the size of the MacBook Pro can come up with up to four USB-C Thunderbolt connections. The MacBook Air only has two. If you have to decide if that's going to be an issue, if it is, get a dongle. But yeah.
Well, you also have talked about the program that you need to run on your Apple machines, the Intego,
Intego software is wonderful. It's a great combination of antivirus and firewall and all kinds of things. I had never heard of this until Patrick suggested it. We got it. Initially, I wasn't crazy about what I viewed as the lack of instructions as you were installing it. Now that I've got it and know how to work it, oh boy, do I love it.
And let me say that we had a question about whether or not, since we had loaded it on the other MacBook Air, if we could load this new one on that same program, if they could share. And so I went to their Facebook page and found an address to write for customer support. I couldn't believe I'm good friends now with Lewis. We just write back and forth all the time because Lewis answered, and it was
not. And I'm getting a little concerned.
It was not AI. It was really a human being because I said, you know, here's what we want to do. And so he wrote back and said, I found your account. Let me allow you to marry them. And I said, no, I'm not sure we want to do that just yet. And we went back and forth like that. And finally he said, would you be kind enough to do a survey? Because I've been helping you for the past week. And I'm like, yeah.
In fact, sure. Patrick, just for a second, tell us about Intego. I'd never heard of them, and I'm very impressed with what they do and how they do it.
Well, the big thing to remember is that if you are a Mac user, you absolutely need to have an antivirus program, and basically any malware and firewall software. If you have Windows, the Windows Defender is absolutely fantastic. You don't need to pay for it. But if you have a Mac right now just doesn't come with it. And there really are some vulnerabilities out there that are targeting Macs more and more. If you go to intego.com, this is a program that was recommended by a couple people, including Wirecutter and Macworld. They did a review of all the antivirus programs out there, and they really seem to like this, and it's pretty hands-off. I mean, everybody seems to like the X9, which is what it's called, and it's basically protecting your computer from all varieties of malware. There is the ability for you to back things up. It's really just one of the greatest tools out there. So all of these things are kind of built in to this Intego.
Steve, is it like $50, $49?
That's about right.
$40.
With excellent customer service, she said, with my new buddy Lewis. Patrick, let's take a break and come back because we have a question from a listener. They sent this in last week about Windows 11. And he wants to buy a pro license for his new machine and said he hasn't got the machine yet. So he says, when you get around to this, would you ask Patrick what he thinks about purchasing it from Stack Social? So I said, okay, we'll cover that and we'll take a break and we'll come right back with Dr. Patrick Crispin here on WGN.
Clever, a very clever guy.
Wow.
Count to a 50 in the blink of my eye and print a picture. And then I tell you the time. Help you find something you're wanting to find.
Steve King and Johnny Putman, and Patrick is trashing his living room, it sounds like. What's going on, Patrick?
The Concorde just landed.
Yeah, did the Concorde land on your computer?
Joseph is sitting next to me actually taking apart the Concorde.
Okay, good. A listener wants to know if the Concorde was more expensive than the MacBook Air or less expensive?
Actually, the Concorde, I can't believe I paid $200 for a Lego set, but, you know, the things you do for your children.
Yes, Patrick said, as he can't wait to get off the phone so he can get back to building that dang Concorde.
No.
So we wanted to answer the question about Stack Social's Windows 11 license.
Yes, I've got the email here. He says, I want to buy a Windows 11 Pro license for my new machine, which I'm going to be getting probably after he gets his tax return. He says, I saw a special on Stack Social selling Windows 11, and I just want to know if you feel that is a legitimate site to purchase Windows 11. And they're talking about $40 for Windows 11 Pro lifetime key.
So the answer to that is that it's dangerous. This is what's called gray market. So we're not quite sure how Stack Social got their keys, how long those keys are going to last.
Oh.
I don't recommend doing it. If you want to upgrade an existing Windows 10 license to Windows 11, it's free. You don't have to pay for it. If you're getting a new computer, you have two options. One, you can go and get a full retail license, and you can buy that at any sort of vendor, any sort of manufacturer. You can go to Newegg, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Best Buy.
pay the full price for it. There is an alternative for you, and it's something called an OEM license. It's an original equipment manufacturer license. And you can get those from Newegg. You can also get it from Amazon. And the difference between an OEM license and a retail license is OEM license is locked to one computer forever. And if you go and get this Windows 11 OEM license and install it on that computer, and then you decide to get a new computer, you have to buy a new license. Mm-hmm. You're going to save some money because you do that, but if you get the retail version, the full version of that, which you can get anywhere, I think you get it at Walmart, you can then take that, as long as you have the key, you can take that from computer to computer to computer until you stop, you know, using your computer. But remember, you have until October 25th of next year to, if you're running Windows 10, to get off and get the Windows 11. If you got Windows 10 already, you can upgrade for free. If you get a new computer, I'd recommend just getting an OEM license. Chances are you're not going to go and port this thing to another computer. So just get the OEM license and save yourself a couple bucks, probably about $120, $130. Although sometimes they are on sale. I've seen them on sale for like $85, but those are legitimate. But gray market, you got to be careful about that.
The other big story, one of the many other big stories, TikTok banned. Dun, 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 dun.
And is that really a ban?
No.
Because they're, what they're saying, the U.S. has said we give you 9 months to sell TikTok. Is that right?
Yeah, and basically it's saying that 9 months from now, the company who owns TikTok has to kind of sell it or find new investors. It can't be ByteDance, can't be running it itself, because ByteDance is the Chinese Communist Party company, and therefore the CCP has control over the company. There is no real private ownership in China. So a law has been passed and signed that says 9 months from now, TikTok is going to have to be sold to some American investors or some international group of people, so outside of the Chinese Communist Party control. And 9 months from now, that President Biden, whoever his president, will have the ability to extend it for another 90 days. The reality is that ByteDance is going to take this to court. It's going to have a lawsuit's going to be appealed all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Reality is we're not seeing anything happening until 2026. And even if it is, it's not a ban. Do you remember, and again, I'm going to date myself, but I graduated from Alabama, so that's legal. Do you remember back in 1984, Rupert Murdoch went and bought half of 20th Century Fox and then decided he was going to buy Metro Media? And Metro Media had six independent television stations, including WFLD in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States government said, yeah, that's really great, fantastic. I'm glad you got the great check. You can't buy them. We're not going to let you do it.
Yep.
Because under federal regulations, an alien couldn't own more than 20% of a broadcast license.
Mm-hmm.
So Rupert Murdoch, before he could buy this broadcast medium, had to become a U.S. citizen. That's really what's going on here. We're just basically saying that TikTok, and TikTok is broadcast, whether you say it or not, it's a media company. If you want to operate as a media company in the United States of America, you're going to need to have some American ownership in this thing. You can't just be owned by the Chinese Communist Party. We're not going to let it. And this is a very, very powerful platform. There are 900 million people who go to TikTok every day. When people get into this, they spend 58 minutes and 24 seconds on TikTok every day. It is the number one social media platform in the United States of America. 22% of U.S. teenagers spend 2 and 3 hours on TikTok each and every day. This is huge. And again, this is a platform where the Chinese Communist Party has the ability to turn the knob one way or turn the knob another way, and perhaps foment some concerns about the government, or concerns about Gaza, or concerns about Israel that might not necessarily be real, maybe AstroTurf campaigns. I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but it's possible. We saw that when Congress was discussing banning TikTok, and again, it's not a ban, that TikTok ended up putting their thumb on the scale saying, oh, hey, you've got to contact Congress and tell Congress not to do this. And that scared Congress because Congress was saying, wait a minute, what? So, you know, it's not a ban. It's basically just requiring ownership change. I will tell you, and I kind of agree with Scott Galloway on this one, if this happens and if there is American ownership on this thing, this thing's a cash volcano. The amount of money that TikTok can make relative to the other social media platforms out there, it's really undervalued because of the concern, the gray cloud of this sort of quote unquote ban. Mm-hmm. Once that thing gets lifted, this thing's to the moon. Everybody is going to be looking at this because they're no longer going to be fearful. Oh, is this actual legit? You know, the friends that I want to follow and the things I want to follow, or is this some foreign adversary who's, you know, gaining the algorithm to push some sort of propaganda?
That does not allow TikTok in their own country.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. For anybody who hasn't been paying attention, you can't get TikTok if you're over in China, boys and girls.
But I wonder, Patrick.
Well, there is a version of TikTok in China that is completely different in what it shows.
Yeah.
But you cannot get this version of TikTok in China.
Is it possible that Instagram stands to gain, for example, the number of businesses that work through TikTok? If they're concerned that tomorrow their business is going to be affected by a quote-unquote ban, that they'll kind of start sliding over to Instagram to do their business. I'm thinking about this guy we saw on television the other day, the plant guy. He literally just sells plants, but he employs eight family members selling plants. And he says, I'm scared to death because
he also has an Instagram account.
And he says, I think I'm just going to have to start moving over there and get people accustomed to Instagram so that when this happens, I will be prepared to continue my business.
But the bottom line is, nothing's going to happen for years.
2026 at the earliest.
So don't be worried about your TikTok going away now. But something hopefully will happen.
If it's my livelihood, though, I think I'm already thinking about, okay, what am I going to do now in case this does happen? So, again, Instagram may stand to benefit from this talk of a quote-unquote ban.
We have so much to get to. Do we want to give Patrick a little pop quiz before we break for the news? Because, Patrick, Johnny stumbled on something that I thought was kind of cool, and I didn't realize that this thing had occurred when it had occurred.
On this day in 1981, and this falls under the heading of technology, of course.
Now, Patrick, just take a wild guess. Can you think of any technological thing that, without looking it up, that
happened on this date?
On this date in 1981.
Yeah.
The only thing that pops to mind is the IBM PC.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good one.
And possibly launching about this time in 1981.
Well, I'll give you the clue. Xerox was in the news because it was in 1981, the concept of the computer mouse, which goes back to 1946, but in 1981, Xerox apparently embraced the concept, and they're the ones that said, ooh, that cord looks like a tail on a mouse, and so we started calling it a mouse. And the Xerox PARC included the first mouse with its Xerox 8010 Star computer, and the year was 1981.
Did you have one of those, Patrick?
When we come back, I'm going to debunk that because tell you.
Food fight.
No, this is a classic cliffhanger, so stay tuned, and we will come back and just keep Patrick for a couple more minutes. In fact, I've got a couple questions for him. We'll get to those. You can get to us at 312-981-7200.
Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, our last call. You can win some goodies from the prize closet if you're our last call.
And Cicada Fashion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cicada Fashion. Yes. Yeah, believe it or not, Cicada we're not done with Cicada. We have more Cicada songs to play. So stay with us at WGN Radio. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Patrick Crispin, the Director of Educational Technology, Keck School of Medicine at USC, talking about computer stuff. And Patrick, we were talking about AI and meta AI, and got this text from Deanna, 630 area code. She says, speaking of meta AI on Instagram, I tried to find a post that I wanted to contradict. I used search, and I got a lecture.
Because that's exactly what you were looking for.
That's right. Yes. This one is from Rachel. And Patrick, Rachel says, could you please remind us of the computer scanning software that you recommend? Not for viruses, but for something different. You've discussed it before. I don't remember, so I bring it to you.
We used to, years ago, we had a couple of software programs that we'd recommend. I'm not going to mention them because we don't recommend them anymore.
Right.
Honestly, you don't really need to do scans on your computer. You can really just have it do it yourself. If you're looking for updates on your computer, Microsoft Update and Apple Software Updater work pretty well. I'm not sure that you would need to run any sort of actual software.
Okay, so we have come a long way then, because website Wednesday night, we'd say, you've got to do your homework, you've got to practice safe.
Yeah, we had the Fab Five.
Yes, and, practicing
don't
safe.
Don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. Okay, you said that you wanted to mention multi-factor authentication fatigue attacks. That's very intriguing, so please explain.
It is. By the way, right before the break, we were talking about computer mices. Actually, Bill English made the first computer mouse in 1965. Okay. Douglas Engelbart actually demonstrated it, mother of all demos, in 1968. So Park was important. Don't get me wrong, Xerox Park, but they didn't invent the mouse. Okay.
Well, take that, Almanac.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Almanac's wrong on that one. It's just common knowledge on this one.
Wow. Okay.
We talked a long time about how important multi-factor authentication is.
Right.
If you set up your phone as being your second factor, or it sends a text message to you, there are a lot of people now who are trying to hack into multi-factor authentication. They might have your username and or your password, or they just can't get in without you going in and saying, yes, I approve it. So what you're seeing now are rapid fire unsolicited alerts saying, you know, oh, there's multi, you know, we're trying to log in. Or did you request your password reset? And what ends up happening is these are system level prompts, especially on the Apples, and you have a choice. You can either allow it or don't allow. And what it is basically someone who's trying to get into your account. They might have a username and password, and they can't get in because they don't have the second factor. So they're just going to flood you saying, do you approve? 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 And if you say yes once, they get your account.
Mm-hmm.
Or still, they might just spam you saying, hey, can I get in your account? Can I get in your account? Can I get in your account? And then they'll call you up and say, hi, this is Microsoft. We noticed that there are a lot of people trying to get into your account. Let me get your username and password so I can get in your account. And it's a fake telephone call. So just recognize, if you ever get a flood of multi-factor notifications on your device, first things first, recognize you're being attacked. So this is not normal. This is not something, maybe I clicked the wrong thing. You are under attack. Always, always, always reject each and every one. And I know it's annoying. You cannot accept any of these. You have to reject it. If you get a follow-up call from anybody saying, hey, we noticed that there's a lot of things going on to your account, absolutely fake call. All of them, 100%. Microsoft will never call you. Apple will never call you. They just don't do that. So if you get a call, it's this person who's trying to get into your account. What you need to do is, once things calm down, you can reset your password if you want to. Make sure when you're doing that, you're actually going to the secure site and not clicking any of the links in the messages that you get showing up on your computer. And then really, that's the big thing, is just remember, you're being attacked. You are, somebody's trying to attack you, and they're hoping that you just get fatigued and say, yeah, fine, go there. Once you do, there's your account. It's gone.
Yeah. So they want to wear you down. Wear you down to the point where you make a stupid mistake and just say, I want this to go away, and boom, you've given them everything they want. That's really
scary.
This is
one of the reasons why I've always recommended that you don't use your telephone number for the second factor. You use some sort of software program like Google Authenticator. If you have to use a telephone number, don't use your real telephone number. Set up a fake telephone number through Google Voice. But if you're going to get pushed, it's two-factor authentication, still incredibly safe, but just be aware there's an extra vector that some people are trying to take advantage of. As long as you, now that you know this, you're going to say, okay, if that ever comes in, I'm going to just say no.
But you just said something I don't know that you've ever said before. Set up another phone number through Google Voice so that you could use that for your two-factor.
That's a really good suggestion.
That is.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy and free to set up your Google phone number. Now we're
Sit there and say, if you need to get in touch with me, or you want to, my second factor is going to be Google Voice.
Now,
and there's my Google Voice number, and they send a push to me. There it is. It's not going to come to my phone.
We have a Google phone number. And in the past week, Steve, I don't know if you know this, but I have made the mistake of picking up a phone call a couple of times. I did not recognize the number, but I was expecting a plumber to call me back. So I thought, maybe that's him calling me back. So I picked up the phone, and it was someone calling to tell me that my Google phone number is going to be discontinued unless we call them back. And I thought, what?
I will check that, because anytime, now Google did send out notices. Oh, I want to say it was about 3 months ago, Patrick. It had to do with if you haven't used
your whatever in a long time.
But the irony is, this person is not calling me on the Google phone number. They're calling me on my cell phone, which is not in any way related to the Google cell phone number. So I'm like, okay, you're right. Sure, you're calling me from Google. That happens every day. And I just...
I get calls maybe once a week in Chinese from the Chinese embassy.
What?
And because I'm in Los Angeles, they're calling all the numbers in Los Angeles, hoping that a Chinese person picks it up and hears it and says, "Oh, I've got to contact these people at the embassy." And you just kind of go, you know, it's just part of parcel. It's like, there are scammers out there. You got to be aware of it.
That's sad, because there might be somebody that picks up the phone in response to that. Now, here's the goofiest email we got in the past week. We got an email from, quote, Norton Antivirus.
Oh, yeah.
You all remember Norton Antivirus?
Oh, yeah.
They were sending us an email.
They're still around.
Yeah.
They were confirming the subscription that we supposedly had
for $846.
Yeah.
Your subscription has been updated.
And merely click on this link to confirm this update, or your Norton will be canceled.
I looked at it and I thought, do they mean $84? What?
No. That's how they get your attention, is to say, well, I see that we've got an order for you for $2,500 unless you call this number. And you're immediately saying, well, I've got to call this number. No, don't.
As we've talked about, most of these scams do what they can to make you react quickly, to make you feel stressed, like, oh, if I don't do this, something bad's going to happen. Pause, take a breath, ignore it.
Perfect example is PayPal emails.
Yeah.
Because I know I've received them.
Supposedly, PayPal emails.
You know, your PayPal account is being charged $972 for this new Apple product. And, of course, you go, what? I didn't charge that on my PayPal account. I don't even have a PayPal account. What do you mean? And so they want you to panic and then do something stupid. And
yeah, check your credit card or log into PayPal. Don't click on the link in any of those things. Just
exactly.
Go to PayPal.com, log in, and you'll see. And there's nothing pending. And it's like, oh, this is fake.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
welcome to our new wonderful digital life.
But you know what? Meta AI is going to help us out of this.
Oh, yeah.
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 Patrick, thank you for your time, as always.
Have fun with that Concorde.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Don't make you
48% just... done.
Really? Since this morning?
Yeah, 48% done. Yeah,
that's
since this morning.
That's pretty impressive.
By the way, I will say before Patrick goes away, one of the coolest gifts I ever got from Joseph
yes.
was the Lego Fender guitar and amplifier and pedal board,
and
yes. it is still set up.
All the cool little knobs are there. The headstock on the guitar is really neat. And I got a Lego garden, a succulent garden, which was mighty impressive, too.
And one of the cool things I got with the Lego Fender guitar was the catalog that looks just like an old Fender guitar catalog. It is so cool.
Lego is finding a really good way to get all of our money.
Yeah, I think so. In fact, Bob Fukuda, who's our engineer, keeper of the big plug, he sent me an article today about the Eiffel Tower is the first thing I saw in Legos. So you
yes.
think the Concorde is big. Oh, my gosh. I know you've seen the Eiffel Tower. What is
I've
it like?
I've seen it in person. It was just like, oh, my.
Is it like 6 foot tall?
Yeah, it's a little taller than that, yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Don't give him any ideas because he loves all of these landmarks. You know, you'll have the Statue of Liberty before we know it.
We have two.
Oh, no. Okay, on that happy note, Patrick, thank you again, as always, for your time. Love it, and
thanks,
we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
More coming up at WGN.
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
No.
I peed, drank too much juice, and then I peed. Felt the juice loose, and then I peed. Tried to hold it, but I couldn't. I peed. Couldn't control it, yo, that's right, I peed.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, two adults on the radio playing mature music for...
But there's a reason. Number one, that will be in the jukebox of your mind
yes.
tonight. And you're going, no!
By the way, that was the Knuckleheads.
A father and son, the Knuckleheads.
And the title of the song actually is Peed in My Pants.
Yes. So why? Why would we be...
Miss Johnny, why are we playing that?
The high fashion world always seems to be pushing boundaries, right? But who's ready for pee-stained jeans? Yes, you heard me right. An apparel company called Jordan Luca is hawking jeans on their site that they advertise as stain stonewash. And they actually have a pair for sale, a lighter wash that goes for, I'm glad you're all sitting down, $608.
What?
Compared to the usual pea stain jeans, $800. Yep. You heard me right. They look exactly like you've wet your pants, and that's exactly what they want it to look like. They're leaving their mark, yuck, yuck, on fashion. Whereas one might normally be embarrassed if they had a little stain there on their jeans, but this is a case of embracing the look. High fashion heads have clearly been losing their minds over this. They're actually showing these at fashion shows. I will hold up a picture for the kids in studio here, and then I will post it. You see that? It's just what you thought. Just what you thought. A pair of light stonewashed jeans that are dark in the front.
Are we now living in an alternate reality? Is this Earth 2?
They are very popular. They are sold out.
No.
Sold out. Yes.
Okay.
Shall I transition to cicada fashion? Would
sure,
that be?
Why not?
Would that be? Yay!
Yes.
Please, please.
Cicada fashion. All right. What I did was I looked up all the different shirts that we can get that would show our love of the cicada.
My favorite is one we can't mention on the air.
Well, you said it, a version of it.
Yeah.
They emerge, have sex, and die.
Yeah.
But it's a little more earthy than that on the t-shirt.
But I love it.
So you want to be careful if you go for that one. Brood 13, Song of Our People, and it's a cicada band on the front of it. Two guitarists, Steve. You'll like that.
Cool.
Two cicadas playing guitar. Also, I love the Brood Awakening.
Yeah.
With a picture
that
of
works.
The cicada.
That works.
Then we have the Brood 13 and Brood 19, the Great 2024 Sing-Along Concert, Bring a Friend. That's a lot on a t-shirt. Coming Out of My Shell is another t-shirt, and it's got this icky picture of the you know what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Again, I'm trying to change my attitude toward cicadas. There's a historic and rare double emergence, first simultaneous convergence since 1803. That's kind of a cool t-shirt because people are going to go, huh? What? I do have to say I love the Chicago flag. You know, the Chicago flag is a series of white and light blue stripes.
Right.
And in the middle you have the red stars.
Right.
In the middle, you have the red cicadas. So it's the Chicago flag
with, okay, that's kinda
with the
cool.
cicadas. I like that. And then I think you would like this as a comic book lover. It looks just like a comic book cover.
Attack of the cicadas.
With the screaming woman.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I like that one a lot.
I would wear that.
And I come into the backyard near you in 2024, the attack of the cicadas. Of course, that's kind of giving them a bad, scary reputation when they're not any of that. And finally, for a mere $79, you can have a sterling silver cicada bolo to wear.
That's actually kind of cool.
So you have a leather.
Let me see that.
A piece of leather.
Yeah.
And then you have your sterling silver cicada.
That's actually a. That's actually kind of cool. What do you think, Becca?
I would buy that. That looks really cool, actually.
Well, we don't have to go for sterling silver. We can go for the cheaper one for $9.99.
Oh.
Better be careful what you ask for. You might be sporting a cicada bolo.
I mean, as long as it's not made out of nickel.
And they're keychains. And honestly, I had more fun this morning going through all of the different ones that are available. I love the peace, love, cicada. So it's a peace sign, a heart, and a cicada. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cute. But comic book is a winner. Chicago flag is a winner.
Yeah, both of those.
And emerge, have sex, and die, but in a more earthy.
I kind of like the bolo.
And the bolo. Okay. I've done all your fashion shopping.
How lucky am I? More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Man, I love them.
I
Steve
too.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That is Hello, Dave. That's the name of the group. And we're going to be talking next week with Mike Heimbaugh from Hello, Dave. They've got a fundraiser going on for Farmway.
Yep. Farmway is so interesting. And if you're not familiar with what they're doing, what Mike Heimbaugh, the lead singer, does now that he's not a rock star. He and his wife and their son, Tex, have a farm that's a sanctuary for horses that were going to be put down.
It is such a cool
these
thing.
These animals are thriving, and it's just so wonderful to see them brought in, and sometimes they're emaciated, and their coat is unhealthy, and they just look beaten down, like they knew that they were going to be killed. And within months, they put up video of these animals just running in the pasture.
The transformation is wonderful to see.
It is. But,
so they're doing a farm raiser. We're going to tell you about some of the specifics. But Hello Dave is going to be getting back together to perform at the fundraiser.
That's right, because it costs money to feed horses hay. Costs a lot of money, in fact. But by doing this, by getting together and reuniting for a big concert that always sells out, they're able to take every single penny that is collected at the door and turn around and buy hay. Mm-hmm. And I think last year they were able to buy enough to take them through like 6 months. It was just, it was wonderful. And then they got together again around Christmas, and then that got them through the winter. And so Hello Dave will be performing live at Joe's in Rosemont on the 10th of May. And Mike will join us and talk about it.
Also next week, we're going to talk with Jason Elmore. You probably don't know the name. He is the founder of Find Me Gluten Free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those of you that have been longtime listeners know that I have celiac sprue, celiac disease, and I have to avoid any kind of gluten. When I was diagnosed, being gluten-free wasn't that cool, but now it is. And May is Celiac Awareness Month, so we're going to talk with Jason about that, about some of the specifics.
He is also celiac, and as a result of being diagnosed with members of his family, he felt that there was a need to be able to just, at your fingertips, open up your phone and say, where can I eat that's safe in this town? Or you're traveling, you're on vacation, you want to plan ahead for your kids, you want to know what are the options out there for you. That's what he's all about. And he's done an amazing job with Find Me Gluten Free. It's a great site. And so he'll tell us his story and tell us all about how it works.
Also next week, Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, will be joining us. And we'll get an update on some of their most recent road tests and some of the other automotive stuff, recalls and things like that.
In fact, a listener sent us a text in tonight at 312-981-7200, and he said, did you know that Tom Appel thanks you guys at the end of his radio show and his podcast? Well, that's because we are his radio parents.
Yes.
And he was just a regular guy until... We said
until we got hold of them.
You need to be joining us to share your knowledge about cars, and that was about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you listen to his podcast and his radio show, the music that you hear is music that Steve wrote, and that's you performing the music, his music bumps, and we also pop up at various points throughout his podcast. So. That's really us, and he really is our...
Yeah, I forgot all about that. I recorded that a long time ago.
Yeah,
it's just a little instrumental I put together.
Yeah, yeah. And we're his radio parents.
Yeah. By the way, in just a couple minutes, so we're going to get our last call. So if you want to get your dialing finger ready, and in a few minutes, we'll tell you when to call. And if you are our last caller, you win some goodies from the prize list. You can text us and call us anytime at 312-981-7200.
How about some loose ends? We'll tie up some loose ends here.
Okay.
Hello, Dave. There's no one in the band by the name of Dave.
Yeah. The reason for the name Hello, Dave, as Mike and some of the guys told us years ago, they had, it was a sound guy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't always paying attention.
So he would plug them in and walk away.
And his name was Dave.
And they go, Dave, Dave.
Dave, Dave.
Dave, I can't hear anything, Dave. Hello, Dave.
So that became the name of the group.
So they went, you know, that feels good. Because every time we yell, hello, Dave, we get some reaction. And at the same time, it's got a nice ring to it because none of us are named Dave.
That's very much like Hootie and the Blowfish. There's no one in the group named the Blowfish.
Exactly.
But there is a Hootie. Whenever I hear Hootie and the Blowfish, it makes me think of...
I know where you're going.
I'm going to tie this in with the cars.
Bob Kessler.
Bob Kessler, who's now in WGN News, was our producer right out of college. And he had just gotten married. And he said to us, I bought a new car today. My wife and I went and bought a new car. We said, really? What'd you get? He goes, I got a Hootie Mobile. We said, what? He goes, you know, one of those boring, boring cars.
Wow.
So it was his Hootie Mobile.
Wasn't it one of the first Toyota Priuses or something like that?
No, what, no, that's kind of cool.
Some Toyota.
It was a dumb car. It really, I have to agree. I'm not going to disparage it, but I remember then it just became, so how's the Hootie Mobile?
By the way, Bob Kessler, who most of you hear at WGN Radio News, as Johnny said, we have a long history with Bob. He was a producer of ours. Bob is one of these amazing people who decides he's going to do something and figures out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to learn how to play harmonica.
Right.
Well, he got some tutoring, learned how to play harmonica. He has since played harmonica on the Grand Ole Opry, and just within the past 2 weeks was at Madison.
Carnegie Hall.
Performing.
Yes, he was performing with a play on that stage, and that was very cool because I said, your music has taken you a long way. But I remember when he said, I need to know how to cook. And I thought, he'll know how to cook. And then he started bringing in these fabulous meals that he was making. So,
and Bob was one of these people that when we were looking for producers at the time,
yes,
we knew right away he was the right guy. A, we just liked him. Mm-hmm. B, we asked him about the WGN Music Library. And we said, for example, if we asked you to go find a song. And he said, well, give me a song. We said, okay, My Blue Heaven. And he said, okay, do you want the Fats Domino version? Do you want the Duane Eddy version? Do you want the... And he went through everybody from the 20s,
yes,
up to, at that point, it was the 80s.
And
we figured, okay, we got the right guy.
Yeah. Well, some people are just an old soul. I teased Julian because sometimes he freaks me out. But then again, I didn't realize that he's as old as he really is. He just looks really young.
Julian is, in fact, 94 years old.
No, I wouldn't be out.
Feel it in my knees.
No, I quite seriously, I've said this to you before, and I don't know if you've heard me say it, but I feel like you are an old soul because you say things. I'm like, wow, where did that come from?
I hate to interrupt you, but the lights are starting to flash, and I think I hear, am I hearing the sound of a Zamboni? Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
The Zamboni, they're going to clean up the studios.
Did you hear that promo that John Landecker claims he's the Zamboni of radio?
He says he's the radio Zamboni.
What? We've got one.
Didn't we copyright the Zamboni thing?
Yes.
So we need to get royalties from Landecker.
And Bob, the keeper of the big plug, is the one that cleans the floors. He polishes it up. Let me ask, do you guys know what a Zamboni is?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I've never seen one in person, but
okay,
I've heard the legends.
Yeah. All right, good.
The keeper of the big plug, Bob, on the other end, has in fact ridden a Zamboni.
Yes, that's why we let him.
And rise one for us every week
every
to
week.
Clean the studios.
That's right.
Well, this means that you have the opportunity to be our last caller, and the last caller can win some goodies from our prize list. As long as you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the past 60 days,
mm-hmm,
just give us a call at 312-981-7200. That number again is
312-981-7200. You don't have to have anything earth-shattering to share with us. You can just simply view yourself as the cherry on top of our five-hour radio program. You're going to be the last thing that we walk out of the studio on our mind, so make it happen.
Feel no pressure.
Make it good. But again, yeah, as you say, feel no pressure. You will walk with prizes, and we just want to say,
or you
hi.
Can run with prizes or ride with them or whatever.
You can walk home. It's going to be long.
I've got the car keys.
That's right. Never mind. So 312-981-7200. If you would like to be our last caller, we'll take your calls, and we will choose one momentarily right here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people, it's time to go home. Yep.
Yep.
Losing time. We're ready.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go.
You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of.
But you can't stay here.
Nope, 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 nope. I can't stay here. Can't stay here. Oh, cannot do it. Cannot do it. You
got to
call
312-981-7200. A listener said the song that she never gets tired of is the closing theme.
And again,
Red Peters,
the closing song. And no, we are never, ever, ever going to play all of that song on the radio.
Maybe if it's our last night on the radio, it might be a good way to say.
Our last night ever
on radio.
On the radio.
On any radio.
Yes.
Right.
So if you would like to be our last caller. 312-981-7200.
And tonight I'm going to turn to Caleb. Choose a number. Choose any number, and we will choose that person as our last caller.
Six.
Okay. And let us say good morning to Marty.
Marty, you are our last caller. Where are you calling from?
Elsip, Illinois, my good friends.
Alsip, Illinois. I know it well. I used to go to a car dealership. It was a Plymouth dealership in Alsip.
More than you wanted to know, Marty.
Well, you know what? I listened to you guys. This is since 1997.
Good.
When I got home from my triple bypass surgery, I couldn't sleep. I turned the radio on, and you two were on there. And I've been listening to you guys ever since, and it's just
been one great ride.
And like I said, you guys left for a while, and then you came back now on Saturdays, which I've been listening to you also. And about 20 years later, me and my wife went to a theater up on the north side to see a couple that you were showcasing. They were single acts, a male and a female. I cannot think of the theater. And I came out in the lobby and to say hello, and I had my Stephen Johnny T-shirt on.
Oh, it was the
Skokie Theater.
It was the Skokie Theater in downtown Skokie.
Yes.
It's a wonderful little theater.
And I think it was Jan Close from New York. And,
Oh, and Anne Harris.
Anne Harris, yes.
Yes, that was a fun show.
That was a beautiful...
Yes, it was.
And what a beautiful theater, too, because it was so intimate and it had been renovated. And
it's a historic theater.
Yeah.
In fact, it used to be used... Oh, who am I thinking of?
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin used to film some of his films in the 20s and 30s.
At the Skokie Theater. Yeah, yeah. Wow, I've forgotten all about that. Yeah.
And Anne Harris is still alive and well. In fact, I think she just has a new album coming out. She was just performing... she's been doing a tour over the past couple months.
Right.
In fact, it's been too long since we've had her on the show.
But here's the important question.
Oh, wow.
Marty, do you still have the T-shirt? Do you still have it? You do?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh.
I wore it that night to show you who I was. You know?
Yeah?
To show you the T-shirt. Yes, I got it. It's precious. It's a precious T-shirt for me, you know. I very seldom wear it, but once in a while I do.
In fact, Marty, you're not going to believe this, but I'm almost positive. Now, Julian will get some information from you off the air, but I want to stay in touch with you because I'm almost positive we have a picture of us with you wearing that T-shirt that night. I think we still have it in our archives.
Oh my God!
I'm almost positive because we took a lot of pictures that night. And they're in our archives from the Skokie Theater, and Jan Close and Anne Harris, and I'm almost positive that you're in one of those pictures.
And Marty, if you ever really get hard up for cash, I just checked on eBay, you can sell it for $50. So
No, I wouldn't do that. No,
it's a lot more
value to me.
Did you ever imagine back when you had triple bypass surgery that you'd still be just like a new human being 20-something years later? Isn't that incredible?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was 54 years old when I had it. I'm 81 right now.
That is amazing.
You're just a kid.
Yeah.
By the way, we just had a text from Deanna 630. She says, I saw Anne Harris last month performing at Fitzgerald's with Kathy Richardson.
Oh, that's a good show, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great venue.
By the way, a little bit of information I never knew about. Text from a 773 area code. Alsip was incorporated to stop the proliferation of cemeteries.
What? I think that's code.
Where is that? I think where does that come from?
I think that's code. I think they're trying to get another message across, and it's escaping us. We're going to have to investigate that one, Marty. So what do you got planned for Sunday? What's on your list of things to do on Sunday?
Well, my grandson is playing baseball early, 10 o'clock Sunday morning.
Oh, my.
He's 13 years old. He plays first base. So we're going to go watch him play baseball. And then obviously go out and eat afterwards, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a celebration of a win, you know. So I'm a big White Sox fan, so I can't do like.
And that's hard to do these days, but I'm.
They won.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, oddly enough, they won, and the Sox and
the Cubs lost
17 to 1 or something.
Sox was 17 to nothing.
Exciting game tonight.
Yeah. I hope. I hope the field isn't rained out for you tomorrow, because it's supposed to be some pretty hard rain overnight tonight.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, they're going to try and get that game in one way or the other. You know,
yeah, right.
Wait it out.
Well, it's a pleasure to catch up with you, Marty. And if you will hang on for just a second, we'll get some information, and we will add another T-shirt to your wardrobe along with the Steve and Johnny T-shirt. You will get a official WGN retro T-shirt, and you'll get your very own weather station from American Weather Makers. And as I always like to say, those darn things have become so collectible. They're right up there with the Seymour Paisen scarf and the ladybug pendant watch.
Yes.
People say, how can I go about getting one of those weather stations of my own? So you're going to get one too, Marty. And thank you so much for sticking with us through the years.
Hold on, and Julian will get some information from you off the air. Quick reminder, next week, full show, and as we said, we're going to be talking with Mike Heimbaugh of Hello Dave. We're also going to be talking with Jason Elmore, the founder of Find Me Gluten Free, and Tom Appel will join us, and we will get some updates from the Consumer Guide Road Tests.
And I do want you to listen next week when Mike Heimbaugh is on, talking about what he does with his Farmway Sanctuary for Horses and the fundraiser. But if for some reason you say, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get a ticket, they're going to sell out, go to Joe's Live Rosemont, mm-hmm. and you can get your tickets today, because all the money's going to go for the support and the feeding of the animals on the farm. And Mike will be with us next week to tell you more about it. But if you really you really want to see these guys perform, it's a great show. They're wonderful musicians. Big Al Wetzel will have his band there. And Al was one of the original members of Hello Dave. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a twofer, a great evening of music.
We hope you will check out our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And check out our blog. That's steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. And our YouTube page, youtube.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And our, you know, I forgot to check because the Tommy Emmanuel video was approaching 120,000 views. So.
And Tommy was on the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, he
Friday
was.
Night.
Just Friday night.
Yeah. And I think somebody said that there were a couple of videos of a few of his performances floating around on YouTube. So if they're not on his page, you can check it out on YouTube. But check out the performance that he did in our studio.
Yeah.
The one that's got over 100,000 views so far.
And our thanks to our crews in Chicago and in Panama City. Our thanks to Bob Fukuda, the keeper of the big plug, to Steve Ruxton, Sylvia Snowden, Julian, of course, helping us to not run too far off the rails.
Oh, and Brett was with us, too, for a while tonight.
That's right. And here in Florida, Caleb Jordan and Becca Stark and Tom Hoots.
And our thanks to the school for letting us climb up here high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida.
And we're going to be here again next week. Becca, what are your plans for Sunday?
Sleep. Church.
How'd you know? No, I have a final exam to study for tomorrow, so that's going to be my Sunday.
So when we see you next week, you will have officially completed all of your final.
Done.
Yoo-hoo-hoo! We should have a party on the radio.
And then I'll have a week, and then I have to start summer semester, and then I'll actually be done.
Actually.
Yeah.
Caleb, what's on your game plan for Sunday?
Sleeping grade.
Grading papers. Oh, yay. Well, I don't know. First of all, we have to figure out what we're going to have to eat. We do that on our way home. And then we debate. And by the time we get to the door, we rush in and we grab the first thing that's on the counter. You know, we got these grand plans. You have this great meal. And then there's bologna. Just eat it.
And not the bologna. Never mind. Story. Okay, we're out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us.